Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. My name is powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian. And it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I literally actually fell asleep and got back on the air. Boy, I need coffee. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the show. We are global. Today, we're going to be talking about sex. S-E-X. Why is sex so important? Sex, 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 sex. Sex. Title. Show. The sex-starved marriage. Internationally renowned relationship expert. I didn't give her name on purpose because I didn't want you guys to cheat and look her up first before we could talk about her. She's a best-selling author. She's a marriage therapist and a professional speaker. Among the first in her field to, there's a good word in here, but you know what? We don't really need it. Couragely speak out about the pitfalls of unnecessary divorce. You know, people are so divorce happy. Divorce, 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 divorce. As soon as they get there's a little trouble, people go, divorce, 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 divorce. You know, we're like, I would say over 55% of the people who get married the first year can turn out to be divorced. I got to check it out. Oop, I did put her name in here. Michelle has been active in spearheading popular movement, urging couples to make their marriage work and keep their families together. Together, together, together. And we have one of the morning crew in here. Good morning, Patty Cakes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Pat. Literally, just woke up 2 minutes ago.
Me too.
I know. That's what we're going to talk about. And, you know, the strange things about, you know, why is sex so important? You know, I'm going to tell you something. I think Pat was the one that all I talk about is puss, 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 puss. I do not talk about puss, puss, puss every time. I do not. I do not. Sometimes I talk about pussy. Plural. God, these jokes are really bad when I just wake up, don't they? So anyway, it's 8:06 a.m. in Hello, Puss Puss. Hello, Puss Puss. What's your cat's name?
Fred.
What's your cat? Buzz?
Fred.
Oh, Fred.
Yeah.
Your cat's name Fred? Really? You named your cat. What? That's kind of an odd name. Why did you name your cat Fred?
I don't know. It just came to me when I was looking at him trying to name him.
Call him Fred. What kind of cat is it? A calico?
A Bengal.
A Bengal. Oh, so is that like an orange cat with stripes on him?
There's spots.
Kind
of brown with spots.
Ah, nice kitty. That tells me he's a fat cat. I bet you it's a big cat, isn't it?
No, he is so skinny.
Really?
You'd think he had anorexia. He's a mix between the Asian leopard cat and Siamese, I think.
Really?
So he's really thin.
Every psychic has a cat, you know that? Psychic or a medium, they have to have kitties. I don't know why they have cats roaming around. You know, cats, I used to have a cat. I called him, his name was Tyrone. I only had one cat in my life. I was in Boston. I was living in Boston at the time. So my girlfriend at the time says, you need a cat. I go, no, I need a cat. This cat was possessed by a demon, I swear to God. Well, I got him from one of the shelters, you know.
Oh,
geez. It was a fat-ass cat. And I looked at him, and I go, I'm going to name you Tyrone. I call him Ty for short. Get home. Ty liked to play this game, and it scared the hell out of me. He would meow like your cat would. And I'm looking at the cat,
yeah.
And I'm going, oh, cat, stop it. Stop it. I got to sleep. And he would sit there at the end of the, besides my bed, and he would just sit there and stare at me, and then he would tilt his head back and forth, like going, that's odd. And the cat scared the shit out of me, because I'm afraid of cats, because I'm afraid that they're going to claw me, you know? I'm afraid that they're just going to claw me to death.
Fred's declawed for a reason.
Yeah.
He's a bit brutal.
Yeah.
And, but boy, does he have teeth, let me tell you.
Oh.
I probably shouldn't be telling you this because you're scared of cats. But
well, no, they're with you.
He's bit me good a few times.
Yeah, I got bit by a cat. Oh, my God. I mean, if you haven't heard, I mean, they do. They have those razor sharp. But, you know, the cat used to study me. And I'll look at the cat, like, don't eyeball me, cat. And he would just stare at me. And you know when you're by yourself, you know you're by yourself. So I would have a staring contest with the cat, and the cat used to get pissed off because I used to win. I go, okay, you want to stare?
Well, that's aggression to the cat.
Yeah, well, now you tell me. So I'm staring at the cat. He's staring at me. I'm staring at the cat, and he's tilting his head to the side. I'm going, that's odd. So I'm staring at the cat. He doesn't even blink, right? All right. Go to time. Time to put away the cat. I'm going to sleep. This motherfucker, man. This motherfucker. He waited. He waited twice. Well, he waits till I snore, because I fake snore, and he did the same thing. So he listened to the snore. Now, I'm already worried that I got him out of the shelter, right? I'm worried that the cat's been abused. The cat this. He's not quite right. The cat's not quite right, right? So he'll sit there, and I'll close sleep. And as soon as I go to sleep, I will feel the pillow. You know, when somebody just pillow go down a little bit, like something's walking on the pillow.
Yeah.
Then he would bat my face, and then he would run. He would run in the middle of the
room.
He wouldn't claw me. He wouldn't scratch me. He would just bat me with his little pads. And he would bat me, bah, 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 bah. And then he would run in the middle of the room and stare at me again. I'm going, Ty, stop it. He would do this four times a night, bah, 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 and then he would run. And and they will sit in the middle of the in the floor. See, I'm thinking he was going to scratch me and everything, but he never did. It was just his pads. And I go, okay, that's enough out of you. And I put him in the bathroom, and that was the worst thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I put him out, and I go, okay, Ty, you behave yourself. You know, I'm dead tired right now. I can't move, Pat. Stop it. Stop it, Ty. Good kitty. Good kitty. I pat him on the head. Good kitty. As soon as he heard that snore, pat, 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 pat. He did this constantly. I had to get rid of the cat. Cat loved me, though. He never clawed me. He never did to get him. But my fear was he could scratch my eyes out.
He might have thought that your snoring was a problem and he was trying to wake up. No, seriously.
Did he? I don't know what it was. It's like, stop it.
Cats can be so funny that way if they're worried about you, if they hear you make a strange noise or something. They will come and investigate. Yeah.
They will come and investigate. This cat was a I didn't realize how much this cat loved me. So I was supposed to be engaged to this girl in Boston. So we're going to get married. But I was also had an affair with this girl who I met at the used car lot who sold me the car.
Uh-huh.
So she called me over, and she goes, Brian. I go, yeah. She goes, Brian. I go, yeah. She goes, Brian. I go, yeah. She goes, come on over. I go, okay, I'll come over. She goes, do we have time for sex? And by the time she said that, my clothes were already off. Hello. Bang, 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 bang. And I left. I said, can you keep my cat here? She goes, okay. She goes, that cat cried for 2 days looking for you. He was running to room trying to find you. He cried for 2 days.
Oh,
I felt so bad. I kind of missed Tyrone. That was the name of the cat, Ty. He was big, gray, beautiful cat, too. Just beautiful cat. Yeah, maybe he thought I had sleep apnea, and he wanted to wake me up, and I couldn't, you know. It's just
possible.
It is possible. Okay, you know, so the reason I have this subject on here is called the sex-starved marriage, and the reason I have this subject on here is because I'm funny. I'm a strange man. And also, we're going to talk about furry sex, too. Furry sex. F-U-R-R-I-E-S. Oh, this is silly. That's going to be fun.
Oh, gosh.
If you don't know what that is, all I can say is you got to see this. And we're going to talk about role-playing and blah, 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 blah. It's Friday. We're going to keep it Friday light. So I'm a strange guy. When I was a kid, I had a share the room with my six other brothers. And so when I became an adult, I couldn't wait to get my own apartment by myself, finally. But back in the day, you know, I met a girl, we moved in together. So it always had to be a two-bedroom apartment, even though we were moving in together. It's always a two-bedroom apartment. Oh, there's some lovely, beautiful Melissa. Good morning, Melissa. The other morning crew girl.
I don't know if my connection is that great. It's a little bubbly sounding. Is it okay?
Yeah,
I can really hear you good
great.
Today.
Okay.
You can?
Yeah, I can.
We could. Uh-huh.
That was about the cheesiest story I think I've ever heard you tell.
Which one? Oh, about
the cat? You said you met somebody at a used car lot.
Oh, yeah. She was hot. I had time because I was going to get... True.
That was cheesy.
It is. I'm not a good guy. But, it's funny because... So as I got my apartment, even though I was going to move in my first apartment with this other girl, now I'm moving in with a girl, I had to get a two-bedroom. I needed my own room. I don't know. I'm not the type that could sleep with each, you know, in the same bed. If I go, I don't see any use for that. I don't. So, and you're talking, we're talking 22, 23, you know what I mean? So it's like I would go into her room and, you know, and then after I'm done, it's like, all right, see you later, pal. And I would go in my room and I would get some sleep. If she was lucky, I'll spend the night. I mean, my room is just right across the hall, you know. But that's how it was. I just stepped from that room, and I'm just going across my room. Ah. I didn't see any reason to spend the night. I feel really uncomfortable spending the night with someone. I mean, sleeping in the same bed. I toss, I turn, you know what I mean? I watch TV and everything. The other person's there. You know what I hate the most is when, I guess, when I really freaked out, I think I developed some kind of sleep problem, is I woke up and she was cuddly. She had her arm just all, you know, just wrapped around me, and then I had this dream that I was being swallowed by a whale, you know, and I go, oh, no, this is not going to work. Not going to work. So what I'm saying is I'm leading this up to different things. And that's how I am. I could never do that. That's how I am to this day. I don't see. Here's beautiful Melissa. There she goes. Good morning. Welcome back, Melissa.
There. Now it's better. Do you know what I had? I had the other show page open on my phone. That's
oh, okay. Yeah, you do sound better.
So I couldn't hear you guys. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not on speaker. That's why. I have to be on speaker a lot because I have a little one that is needs to be watched.
Yeah, I can understand that.
There you go. Tell your story.
Okay. But people always think it's weird, right? I mean, you got a lot of pressure, right? People go, you don't sleep together. Like, there's something wrong with you, right? And it's like, I was never one of these people. I like to go to sleep. I don't need to be around people who are snoring or they have flatulence that night going, what the hell is that? I'm out of here, you know. It doesn't take much for me to get out of here. It could be like we're together and we're spooning, and all of a sudden she turns on a chick flick. I'm out of here. It can be any little thing to get me out. I'm going across the hall. I'm going in my little room. That's how I've always been. So people think there's something wrong with you, you know. And so as we got older, and I don't like to tell really personal stuff, so people go, well, you've been with your girlfriend for X amount of years. I go, yeah, do you guys sleep together? I go, what are you talking about? You crazy person, you. No. And what it is that he goes, no. Why? That's unnecessary. And I'm going to tell you why it's unnecessary. First of all, I work weird hours. I mean, any given time, I could be on a computer at 12 midnight to 5 in the morning. I could be on a computer up until, there's been times I've been on a computer up until a quarter of 7 my time, and I go up at 7 o'clock a.m. She needs her rest. She has to get up at 5. You get the idea. You get the idea.
Yeah.
You know, if I go to, and then the other problem is that when me and my girlfriend were together, we used to smoke. We smoke cigarettes, right? We're cool. We smoke cigarettes. You know, when you're a smoker, you give every excuse to smoke, right? It's like, it's just you get an excuse to smoke. It's like we're in the bedroom. Wow, we can smoke in here. You know, any excuse. After sex, cigarette. Good movie. I like this movie. Okay, I got to prepare my cigarettes. You know, so any excuse to smoke, any excuse. Okay, you know. So when she quit smoking cigarettes, she just said, it's been 10 years since she picked up a cigarette. She just up and said one day, she goes, you know what, I think I'm going to quit. I go, okay. She broke a cigarette off, never went back. So now she's not a smoker. I was still a smoker. And here it goes. It would be like, ugh, you're in the bed. Did you just smoke? Yeah, I just smoked. Ugh, I just cleaned the sheets. I just, you know the deal. Ugh, got to reek with smoke. You know, the over, you smell. Go gargle, take a shower. And then it would be like that with sex, right? It would be like, I go, you know what? I'm going to rock your world. And we make dates, even though we live in the same house. You would have to know my girl. I would make a date. I go, baby, you know, it is the weekend. She goes, yeah. I go, You want to go to a movie and later on, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? She goes, Mel, what are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying. You would have to know my girlfriend, but she won't make it easy. She won't make it. And Laverne and Melissa would know this. She doesn't make it easy. Thank you. You know,
she puts up with a lot from you. A lot.
She does. She should get the NAACP award. So I said, do I have to really spell it out? She goes, yeah, I think you really do. All right. And then I typo it because I'll text it to her. She goes, what is Rex? What? What's R-E-X? What do you mean? Oh, typo. Okay. How about I just say it? You know, we're going to have sex. She goes, oh, we are. I go, you're damn right we are, woman. Oh, okay. When? I said, I'm serious. I said, well, about maybe 8 o'clock after dinner. She goes, I might be busy. I go, what are you doing? What do you mean you might be busy? We live together. What are you doing? You're busy. I just might be busy. I go, nobody's too busy. Are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right? She goes, no. You got to give me more warning. So this would go on. She goes, you have to woo me. Really? So I just do this.
My mind's telling me no.
Yeah, baby. I'll get her a little R. Kelly, free R. Kelly thing. So that's how it is. And then after that's done, guess where I go?
Good boy.
Right into my room. And I'll say, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm on a computer. God, you. Hello, Fred. Fred.
I know.
Fred. So,
He's going to bed, so he's making noise.
Oh, that's how it is. See, this is why I sleep in the other room. So I say that to this. People have weird things when they come to sex and marriage and stuff like that. And it was really surprising. And we're going to talk about that. And it's really – and I say that for this. This is – I know, Fred. I know. I was talking about something else. But, Fred, I'll listen to your 9 life stories of your sex life later when you get a show, buddy. So – it was getting to 17 years old. I'm going back now. I'm 17 years old. I'm a 17-year-old guy. 17-year-old, I'm 6 foot. I'm at 195 maybe. Not fat, but I'm muscular, 17. So it was this teacher. Her name was Mrs. Sundgren. She was my English teacher. And she says, she was throwing a party. She goes, we're throwing a party and I want you to come over. Now, I got 17. I thought, oh, birthday party. I'm thinking with present, right? So I go. She gives me the address. I had my own car. I had a Firebird at the time. She goes, here's the address. I go to the address. And I hit the little dinger, bing, bing. And, you know, I got her a little present. It was some sticky perfume that was cheap. I got it out of a guy who was selling it out of a car. And it smelled good. So I got the present, and she goes, go around the back where the jacuzzi is. I go around the back, and, oh, it must be a lot of people. I don't like a lot of people. It's a birthday party, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't a birthday party. It was her and her husband and this other woman. I go, oh, I must be early. She goes, why don't you come in the jacuzzi? I go, I didn't bring any trunks or anything. And she goes, go in there. You can look at my husband's drawer. I don't want to look at your husband's drawer. Go get some trunks. I go, ew. That's what I did. I got some trunks. They got in there. She goes, come sit. So I sat. Her husband sat to the left of her. I was to the right of her. And this other woman, who was her best friend, was across from me. And I go, so where are the other kids? When are they coming? She goes, no, you're the only one. And if you're lucky, you'll be coming. I go, what? Where are we going? My innocence went out the door. Do, 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 do. Jesus loves you more than you should know. Hey, 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 Mrs. Robinson. And here's to you, Mrs. So I'm in a jacuzzi. She goes, I want you to meet my husband. I met her husband, whatever. And then all of a sudden we're in a jacuzzi, and I felt his hand slip down my bathing suit. Seemed like fingers forever. And his little voice in me said, uh-oh. And the other voice says, be cool, fool. Okay. And then she was smiling, and she was looking at her husband. Her husband was looking across, and then I looked at the other girl across, and she was smiling. And everybody was smiling, and I'm going, they're laughing at me. You get the paranoid. Why are you laughing at me? Then she goes, after the pool, she goes, let's go out to my place, and we're going to go in the house now. Beautiful house. Okay, we're going to watch movies. Oh, good, we're going to watch movies. We're going to watch movies. I love movies. And all of a sudden, there's naked people up there going, what kind of movie is this? And they're doing nasty stuff. Ooh. This is my English teacher. Oh. And she goes, do you like the movies, Brian? I go, yes, I do. And there you go. I guess her husband liked to watch her have sex with children.
I see.
Coo-coo-coo-doo, Mrs. Robinson, Jesus loves you more than you will know. Oh, ho, ho, ho. So, and then I asked her, because she came over constantly. It was like, after that, she's after school, she used to come over. I'm coming over, Brian, and have sex, and have sex, and have sex, and have sex. Then I asked her, I said, does your husband know this? And she goes, yes, I don't lie to him. Oh, okay. Why do you do this? She goes, because we want to juice it up. Juice what up? The only thing that's being juiced up is you. I mean, sometimes you get so wet, I fall out, I slip and I'll slip all over the place, and I fall off the bed. She goes, we just juice it up. I go, okay. And I didn't know what juicing it up meant. And I don't understand. And then you get into people with the swingers and the poly thing. It's like, why are you married? And I could never understand swingers because it's like the swinger goes, you want to fuck my wife? If you don't want to fuck your wife, why are you giving her to me? She must not be that good if you're going to give her away. I mean, why am I getting a free gift? I mean, it's like, here's my wife. Yeah, go ahead and fuck her. No, if you don't want her, why should I? I had that logic in my head, right? Juicing it up, juicing it up, juicing it up like I'm a juicer. Juicing it up. Yeah, you know, sometimes these little, you know, I'm a straight man, and I get these things in my head, like in the place, like, boy, boy, crazy boy, stay loose, boy. You know, West Side Story. I get these things in my head. I don't know why everything turns into a musical, and I'm a straight guy. You know, my dick will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar tomorrow there'll be dick. You know, you get these things. It's how I entertain myself. It's how I entertain myself. So I think that was a bad thing, you know, because I think I lost my innocence too young, you know. You know what I mean? I was.
Well, you didn't tell us how old you were.
I was 17 when I was in a kazoo, when I was in my teacher, my English teacher, Miss Sundgren.
Well, you named her. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, she's probably dead by now. If not, she's probably, no, she's not dead. She's probably having, nobody's going to look her up, but she was a hotsy-totsy. See, this
I
was
see.
In my head. This was in my head when she was slipping her little hands and slipping in the darkness. But so you have in your head, you know, some songs. So this was in my head.
Boy, crazy boy, get cool. Boy, boy, crazy boy, get cool, boy. Got a rocket in your pocket. Keep coolie cool, boy. Don't get hot. Man, you've got some high times ahead. Take it slow, and daddy-o, you can live it up and die in bed. Boy, boy, crazy boy, stay loose, boy. Breathe it, buzz it, easy does it. Turn off the juice, boy. Go, man, go, but not like a yo-yo school, boy. Real reaction.
The only thing I didn't do is dance and twirl around and do that. But that was in my head. You got a rocket in your pocket. Stay cool, boy. So these are the things that just like, this isn't right. So something's seriously wrong with me. Something seriously wrong. So people, do you remember that song in West Side Story, though? Do you remember that?
No, because I never got into that movie.
Oh, it was good. Wait, here's a little bit. Wait a minute.
Cool it, A-Rod. Cool it. Cool it.
That's precisely why I didn't watch it.
A lot of dancing. It's a lot. Wait a minute. Here we go. I'm getting there. Little things crap in your head. We're gonna juice it up. And so then my girlfriend drops a bomb on me. You drop a bomb. So I don't remember half the time. There's no secret. I went to the hospital and everything, but and I remember I was in there for 6 weeks or whatever. Time is flying and everything. So I talked to my girlfriend. Everything was fuzzy and everything. And she goes, you know what? I go, what? We haven't had sex in a year. I go, what? And I couldn't believe it, right? What? He goes, yeah. You were diagnosed with this, at, I can't even say it, but you were diagnosed with this, like, at this time. I go, yeah. And it's been a year. I go, it's been a year. Actually, been like a year and a little bit. It's been a year, and I didn't really comprehend that. I didn't comprehend that. And I said, oh, shit, really? She goes, yeah. I go, now, she goes, remember? And I go, yeah, because I'm still foggy. I still have the shit in my head and, you know, the drugs and everything. And I, she goes, do you remember why we went? I go, no, why did... I go, we went for a checkup, right? She goes, well, yeah, but you know why we went for a checkup? I go, no, I don't know why we went for the checkup. She goes, well, you know what happened? I go, what happened? She goes, I go, don't tell me. She goes, I said, I couldn't get it up. I mean, that's a little thing. I mean, that's my thing. That's who I am. I mean, without that, I'm nothing. That's what I bring to the party. I bring me and him. He's the guy. And if I can't bring him anymore, I got nothing. So she goes, well, what it was, now, she goes, you were not completely limp, you know what I mean? I go, I know I wasn't, but you're at half mass, you're only like 6.5 inches, and I go, I was that small? She goes, yeah. I go, damn. But she goes, we can still work with it. I go, can we work with that? She goes, yeah, we can still work with that. I go, okay. I go, well, just pretend that I'm an Asian person. And then here, then we got down here that word, and we got to juice it up again. Juice it up. And it's like a terrible word. She goes, until we're done with this, we can get very creative. Creative? What do you mean? You know, and then my head started kicking in and being creative. I go, you know. She goes, you got that look in you? I go, yeah. And I'm whispering in her face. She goes, you're a nasty guy. I go, yeah. I'm bringing it to the party, baby. And then I whisper in her ear, ooh, that's naughty. Yes. Yes, it is. She goes, this is going to be fun. You're damn right, woman. You're damn right. Then you hear that thing in your head, boy, boy, crazy boy, get loose, boy. And so you could be creative, right? You can be creative. But there's some people who go above board. Here we go, sex star of marriage. I'm going to say this right now. Listen to what I am saying because I don't think I'm the only one. There's a lot of people out there who are in relationships right now, and they are not having intimate relationships with their partners. There has to be not just me. There
no
has
kidding.
To be. And it's like people are ashamed. People are ashamed of it. It's like, I'm not going to be, you know, I was ashamed. Even when she told me I was ashamed, I'm going, let me go hide. Get over here. Okay. And there's people
We're
who
having
just don't
the
care.
Same problem, Brian.
Are you really? Tell me about it. Wait a minute. I'm going to put you on the couch. Hold on. Let me put you on the couch. It's time for, let me get Dr. Brian in the office. I want to hear this because it's serious stuff, you know. Hold on. Let me get Dr. Music. Dr. Music. Hold on.
Not helping me want to share this, you know.
Why not? Nobody know who you are. Okay.
Right.
And, right. And there's your picture. There she is on a marquee, you know. I don't know. I'm sharing, right?
Yeah, I know, but this is, you know.
Why? And make you hotter to most guys. Like,
I have
ooh.
To do it before he comes downstairs again.
Okay, go ahead. I can't find the music. Go.
Okay.
What's your problem, Adam? Welcome to my office. Hello. I'm Dr. Fix-It. Yes.
He hasn't been able to do anything for a long time because if it goes up, he can't get it down again.
What? I never heard of that. Really?
It's a calcium buildup or something.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. It was rough for the first few years, let me tell you. Very rough.
Wow.
But I had somebody else kind of helping me out, so. But it's been years for that, too, because the hernia.
Years?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can understand that. So how long has it been since you have been intimate with someone, a partner? How long has it been?
Someone? Anyone?
Anyone.
Okay, it's been 8 years.
You have not had intimacy in 8 years? You have not had dick? Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
But I'm not going to leave him over it.
Well, of course not. Why would you?
A lot of people do.
Years. Well, yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, is it that important, really? And when we're talking about people sexing it up and everything, I want to thank you for sharing, you know, that. You're a safe haven here, you know. Hold on. Nobody else. It's only you and I heard this. Hold on. 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. Did you hear the story about Pat? No, I'm kidding. 111, you're live on the air. Okay. I have problems
See,
with 111.
There's always somebody listening. And Pat, as a woman, when you put yourself out here like this, you've got to remember there are men that are listening to you.
I know.
You've got Brian. You know that what can happen.
What do you mean, what can happen?
Oh, people could Facebook you, get a hold of you. You'd be surprised.
Oh, that's not easy to do, but I had somebody from Nigeria contact me the other day. I was kind of like, oh, I don't think so.
No, don't give him money.
too.
And that guy's still around.
Just be careful what you share on here, especially Brian. See, he welcomes pervert to get a hold of it. Welcomes it. He does. If some female showed up in his inbox sending pictures, he'd like it. Yes. Maybe you would too, right?
What?
No,
maybe
I'm talking about
Pat. Oh, Pat.
No. Just be careful. Telling her to be careful.
Yeah, well.
You know, she's under my protection.
I can help you out with that situation, Pat. Let me show you this, right?
All right, I'll put it in your Facebook. I'll put it in your Facebook right now, Pat.
See?
What are you doing?
I'm 12 up to no good. I don't want to see. I told you. No, I'm not. I'm only joking. We won't go into any more details. We'll gossip later. But you're not the only one, Pat. You're not the only one.
I know.
There are so many people, and there's so many people. There's like I have 411s in there. They're not discussing, not talking. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold 111. You're right there on one, and when you're ready to speak, just hit one, and the little hand will come up, and I'll open up your microphone.
But hey, if you're open to it, right? Then I guess I've had that happen, and it's not pleasant.
What?
But I don't talk about sex on here. I don't do it
that reason. No, you don't need, sweetheart. No, baby. You don't need to. You don't need to. This is not one of those things. But this is one of the things that this is happening a lot. And people will say, even when I was a kid, you know, when I was a kid, 22 or whatever, you don't sleep with these? No, I don't. It's like they shame me. I'm just saying there's a lot of people, especially when you get older, that maybe you're sleeping in two different rooms. Maybe when you get older, you're not having sex. Well, you know what cracks me up is the fucker. It's the dude, right? I know the dudes. They haven't been with their wives or girlfriends in a long time, right? Oh, you know, I'm not with my girlfriend and everything. And as soon as we're together, right, and pretty girl walks by, oh, I want to fuck her. Oh, I want to bang this shit. I go, what? What? I mean, you get those guys. Oh, look at that. I want some of that. What? You know, I'm serious. I'm serious. Guys are like that. But what I'm trying to say is we're going to explore this, and we're going to get into this, and we're going to get into this and let you know that you're not alone and let people – what can you do about it? This juicing things up, I don't know what that's about. Let's juice it up. I have been with people saying, like that one woman, we juice it up. What are you juicing up? Well, we sleep with other people, and he likes to watch. I go, well, you're sleeping with me, and he's way in the other room. He doesn't even know it. I know. And it's like, how is that juicing it up? It just makes me more hornier for him, and it helps him out. I go, this doesn't make no sense. And it doesn't make no sense when they do this swinging and Pollyanna. Now, the poly relationship makes a lot of sense to me. Because if you got a man who is very successful and he's good to you and he provides all this stuff to you and he has three or four wives and he's really good to you and you're not really into the sex, you're not there for the sex, you're there for the intimacy, and he's really good to you, that makes a lot of sense to me. I am not opposed to that whatsoever because there's so many assholes out there, but I don't understand the swinging and this other thing. And so anyway, so I was one time I was just by myself, and it was 2 a.m. I said, okay, I wonder what's going on with Pornhub. And then I came across Glory Hole. I go, who's Glory Hole? What's a Glory Hole?
Oh my God! I just happened to go by with my platinum subscription that I have. I'm sorry. Right? I was just cruising the internet.
Just cruising it, and all of a sudden, Glory Hole came up. So,
yeah.
And guys, you got to look what Glory Hole is. So Glory Hole. So it's like, okay, Glory Hole. And so that's when, if you don't know what a Glory Hole is, what it is.
My
is
God, who doesn't? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I am not.
Now, he wants to explain what a glory hole is. Go ahead.
I have to explain it. I have to explain. I'm not going to assume everybody knows what a glory hole is. Glory hole.
That's what it is.
Okay. I have to explain. Wait, Pat, do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
Of course.
Would you like to explain?
I'm very
it?
Old.
Would you like to explain what it is?
Oh, hell, you can do that.
Okay.
Oh, do it, Brian. Come on. Come on.
All right. Here it is. What you do is that you put your dick into this hole. You don't know who's on the other side or not. It's like this room that has nothing but holes in it. It's like woodpeckers ate that room up. And then you just put your dick in the hole, and there's somebody in the next room will come in, and they start sucking you out, giving you a blowjob. Now, the problem
mm-hmm.
with the glory hole is that you don't know who's doing it. It could be some dude,
mm-hmm.
or it could be a woman who hasn't shaved and she has a mustache. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
and it's juicing it up. Or,
do you remember that
or,
Always Sunny episode when they had the glory hole in the bar? I'm a big Always
one?
Sunny fan.
Which
Always
one?
Sunny in Philadelphia, where they had
oh,
the glory
I
hole in the bar.
I didn't see that one. That was a great
one.
That's
a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had the glory hole. Yeah, and Frank was in there constantly. Yeah. I recommend that show to anybody. I love it.
That's one of the funniest shows around. Always Sunny in
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, juicing it up. There's something wrong. Husband and wife, we like people to watch us. Why? And then when I went to film school, I did documentaries on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever go to the nudist camps, they're not the kind of people that you want to get excited about. They're not. I don't know where they come from. They're Walmart people. They're not the kind of people you get excited. Where's the gorgeous women out there in the nudist camp? You can't find them. And then the same thing
on
with
Pornhub.
The swingers.
They're on Pornhub, the ones that
they're
go
on, they are on that. I'm
yeah.
going to renew my subscription.
Yeah.
I get a cookie.
Yep, renew.
But you know, yeah. And then, but in real life, it's like, the swingers, real life, it's like, ooh. Goes, here, have my wife. No, if you don't want her, I don't want her either. You know, where's the good one? And if you have to share your wife, what kind of relationship is that? And then that's not even enough. They need to juice it up more. They need to juice. Boy, crazy. They need to juice it up. Turn off the juice, boy. And so now we talk about furries. And I'm saying.
That's weird.
It is.
That's really weird. That's another episode on Always Sunny they did.
Was it
and they
really?
Were all taking ecstasy? Yeah. And their people are all dressed up as furries. That's another one. Yeah. Like
they're always on the edge, aren't
and,
they? They're taking
yeah,
ecstasy.
Always. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
I'm going to give people are starting to come into the room now. I'm going to start giving their phone number. 319-527-6099, 319-527-6099. If you have a weird sex fetish or you and your wife do something kinky or whatever, you have a kinky thing you do without your wife or your wife doesn't know that you have a kinky thing or you're the wife and you have a kinky thing and he doesn't know, let us know. Coming in the studio. The number is, it's Friday.
Don't do that.
319-527-6099. It's Friday. And coming in, let's talk about it. I already, there's
clean
another
it
woman one just came into the studio. So what I'm going to do
is I want to hear
I'm
all this sex talk. That's what they want to hear. They want to hear about
do.
Glory holes and
glory
furries.
Holes.
And...
Furry.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love furries.
Yeah. You know what, Pat? I didn't say good morning. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Good morning.
Good morning. I came in here wound up because I went to bed thinking about the show.
Did
and
you
laughing
really?
Inside. Yeah. I had,
what were you thinking?
It was what I had text you this morning.
Oh.
About all the different little funnies that
the
went on.
The memories that we have. We had so
oh,
many.
Yeah.
We did have funny memories, right? Wow.
Yeah.
We'll
one
get
came
more.
Up. And now let me bring it just quick. Diane. And Diane was the biggest sweetheart ever. Brian
yeah.
and I had, you know, kind of offline private relationship, and she was a real sweetheart. And Diane has since passed away.
Right.
And she wanted, he used to do like a segment where people would read stories. And that were going on. And this happened to be the guy that was pretending to be Down syndrome. Do you remember that?
Oh, geez.
I knew he, okay, this is classic. And Diane was so sweet, and she's reading the story, right? And he was a fake Down syndrome, and was he hiring people to wash him, to, like, wash him, right? I'm listening to Diane. I was like, Diane, what the fuck? Read that again. Oh, he was Down syndrome, and he just needed help. I said, Diane was an imposter. Oh, really?
He had a big van.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah,
when was the Down syndrome guy driving
a van?
Yes.
Yes. She was so innocent. And she was...
Oh,
I miss her. I really do.
That was. Diane was my executive producer for 5 years. 5 years she was.
Yeah.
Really?
If longer
yeah.
than that. Yeah.
Put up with
yeah,
you that
my...
long, did she?
Huh?
I said she put up with you that long, did she?
That long.
She was that type of person.
Yeah. Well, she loved South. Her humor was like South Park, and it was innocent kind of thing, looking in and everything. And one time we were talking about our favorite songs, and then Diane goes, "Well, I like to go on a cruise with my mom, and my favorite song was
Grandpa.
What was it? Yeah, Grandpa.
And she sang it.
Yeah, she did. Tell me about the good old days. Yeah, she used to do that. Diane actually started. She was my first audience member of this whole show, and how it was is that she was my Facebook friend, and I used to do this bit about Facebook Airlines, and it always ends up that we crash and burn in the ocean, but until then I am the pilot, and you're flying Facebook Airlines. Diane thought it was hysterical. She didn't want to miss the Facebook. You know, the pilot on Facebook Airlines, and we always die to our deaths. It always ends that way.
Do you remember why she came online, why she told us? Because she had a stroke. And the doctor recommended that she do that for, like, cognitive things.
Oh.
And, yeah. She, like, would interact and use keyboard and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I didn't know the show worked for her that way. I didn't know it was PT.
Oh,
I wish I would have known.
It was. Yeah.
I wish I would have known. But she's in a better place right now. She's with her grandfather, her father.
Yeah.
And she's in a better place. She's not suffering. I kind of look at it that way. But I love that. Yeah, throughout the show, well, remember, there's going to be some memories that we have, and we had some really. There's one, Pat, that this woman was an author. She was a high kind of upscale person, you know, like how do you do, kind of upscale, always bragging about this. Until she says she likes to hold her stepson's penis.
What?
She did.
True story.
She didn't even
think twice about it.
She was
normal.
Tell
the whole story. Do the lead up.
She thought that was normal. The only thing I can remember was the pony story when she was 9 years old and we thought it was innocent.
Oh, God.
So she would tell an innocent pony. Nothing could be more innocent than a girl who's like 8 or 9 years old and she has a pony for her birthday. So I thought it was going to be a boring story. We go, oh, that's cute. Aw. And then she goes, yeah, I was on the pony and next thing you know, the pony tried to rape me. And I think Melissa go in front of the kids. Yes, I go. Where did this turn sideways?
My.
Didn't anybody stop the pony? No.
I know. I think they got pictures of it, maybe.
Yeah, they got pictures. You're nice.
Nobody
stopped the pony. What kind of pony?
Nobody stopped it. Yeah. What is wrong with these people?
There's a million of them. Oh my God, there were so many. There are so many stories. And Stanley got lost in a city when his dog died, and he was running around the streets, and there was a lot of stuff. But
her son was in the hospital. Let's tell the story correctly.
Okay, go ahead.
He needed to use a urinal.
Right.
And he couldn't have... I'm sorry, God, forgive me. He couldn't manage to do it without anybody but her holding it.
Right.
And he's an adult. And we're all quiet listening.
And at this point, Melissa, he's about 17 now, right?
Maybe older.
Maybe older, maybe 20. So she was
maybe
bragging
20.
About it, that the nurses needed him to urinate, and he couldn't urinate. And, you know, and she was bragging, only I could put my hands on his penis, and then he went to the bathroom, and I held it for him.
Yeah.
And then that's when he went. Only I could do it. And I'm saying, this is the same woman who got raped by the pony on her 9th birthday. Mm.
But she talked about how big it was. That's when it got even
bigger.
Oh,
weird. Yeah, she described it, didn't she?
Yes.
She was bragging.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was
oh,
big.
Yeah.
Should,
I think Ellen even said something.
It was big and heavy.
You know. Yeah. Like, really? Really? And we're being quiet, and you can't. Sometimes, you know, I have, like, a big mouth, I guess, right? No. Do I? Yeah.
No, you don't.
Sometimes.
It was the funniest thing that keeps me laughing. I'll play some classics because, you know, we have some classics that we haven't played on the show before, like the guy, you know, just a girl up in that house. The funniest thing was, oh, my God, okay, forget it. I'm not going to go into memory lane. It'll come to me a little later. But Melissa, oh, and it was really inappropriate. Sometimes I could go inappropriate, but when Melissa starts laughing, I just die. I lose it. Because Melissa usually tries to hold it back. It was a real-life thing about this airline pilot. I mean, not the airline pilot. It was this doctor.
That was the best.
It was this doctor. That was the best. So when I initially played it, you're hearing him getting kicked off the plane, and you're hearing the
screaming.
But the way that he screamed was so over the top. It was so fucking funny. They dragged his ass through the air, through the plane, and you hear this woman, "Oh, that poor man!" And he's screaming.
Yeah.
And he's
"They're gonna kill me! They're trying to kill me! They're trying to
they're
kill
trying
me!"
They're trying to kill me!
And he's screaming.
He runs back on the plane. Oh,
yeah.
It was
they're trying to kill
it was,
me?
Yeah.
It was a national news, you know, thing. That it was crazy. He was a crazy old bitch. He was a Vietnamese doctor. Remember? And he was a pervert. He'd been off.
He was a pervert, yeah.
Yeah. He'd been giving opiate prescriptions to trans for sexual favors, right? This comes out after. He had lost his license to practice for a while. He did.
Oh, there.
That bitch got about $40 million, didn't he?
He got $40 million. He sued the airlines.
Yeah.
They paid him over $40 million.
Yeah, he got a black eye and a couple of knocked out teeth.
And then he ran back in the plane.
They're
trying to kill me.
Fun. They're gonna kill me. They're gonna kill me. Yeah, we had some.
And it's
times.
Inappropriate fun, but it is just over the top. Sometimes you just have to go, are you kidding me? So it's one of those things, are you really kidding me? So, I mean,
and
it's
Cole,
like when you're nine.
We're talking about
nine,
sex.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
when we
Cole.
Come back. Yes, we are.
Yeah, let's
do it. When we come back, 319-527-6099. That's the number that'll get you in the studio. That's the number that your ears will hear something that they never heard before. And that's our show. And give you a chance. We got another two or three people just came in. We got a full studio today. It'll give enough time
Excellent.
For people to do it. I literally just woke up. I literally need a cup of coffee. And when we come back, the sex-starved marriage, are you one of them? Are you one of these people in a marriage, in a relationship? Don't have to be a marriage or a relationship. And you're not having sex like you think you should. You start thinking maybe somebody else can juice it up for you. Or then you try, and you do weird things, strange things for turn on. You know, to juice things up. You go outside and you have public sex, or the afraid of being caught, it juices you up a little bit, and you have sex in weird places, or in this case, you're dressed up like a mascot or a cartoon character, a furry. So they're out there. So we're going to talk about this. We have some lady talk about it on TED Talk, too. It's very interesting. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. That is magnificent Melissa right here in the studio. This is the worldly sexy Pat in the studio. She's a psychic. She
and
knows.
Don't mess with her on Facebook with dirty pictures, please.
Oh, don't worry. I don't think anybody will.
You'd be surprised.
You'll be surprised. There she is. Look at this, Pat.
My Facebook isn't accessible to public, really. So
there you go.
Okay.
Good for you.
Okay.
All right, so you get in the studio. There's going to be a fast day today. It's going to be 98 degrees today in California. 98 degrees.
Oh, God.
It's going to be 78 degrees at 7 p.m. this evening. So this tells you how hot it is in California.
Mm. Wow.
And we'll be right back. I'm drinking some coffee, and we're going to have fun today. If you're not in the studio today, then I don't know where you are because you're going to be missing a lot. I'm going to put... You hear those crows? Listen. We got these wild parrots that just all of a sudden started. Mm. They are the noisiest motherfuckers you ever. They're pretty, but they're wild parrots. And you can hear them. They squawk louder than any crow. All right.
Mm.
We'll be right back with more sex talk. I'm going to mute everybody because I'm going to make some coffee, give you guys a chance to make coffee, go to the bathroom, yell at your kids, make love to your husband, whatever you do. We'll be right back. Remember, just do it quickly because we'll be back in about 4 minutes, about 2 minutes. today we're going to talk about the sex-starved marriage. You know, we're going to go right into it. But before we get there, there is some news. There is some news going on right now. And it's very interesting news. Here we go. The beautiful, wonderful Pat, the magnificent Melissa, and there's 411s. Anytime you want to talk to me, all you have to do is hit the one. Before we get into our main story, there is some news. Pete Davidson. You guys don't know who Pete Davidson is? Anybody? Well, Pete Davidson was with SNL, and then he was with the Kardashians for a while. He had a big feud with, Kim Kardashian's ex. They had a big feud, and he wanted to beat him up. Well, anyway, he checked into rehab yesterday, actually 45 minutes ago, I guess. Pete Davidson enters rehab. SNL star therapy pursuit echoes comedians Chevy Chase and Chris Farley. Something about that. You know that they party hard on SNL, man. They party hard on SNL. They party hard. Pete Davidson reported admitting himself into rehab to manage borderline personality disorder. Okay, I don't know what borderline personality disorder. I think maybe we call it schizophrenia. But borderline personalities. No? Tell me out, Pat.
It's they have trouble empathizing and stuff. It's borderline is I don't know, they're very cold people, very difficult.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I was gonna finish the story and then I got caught up. It was a gang of monkeys, they took over this school. And there's all these monkeys came into the school and chased the kids off. But let's go back to Pete. But I don't know what that really. So what is it? Just well, okay. It says the Saturday Night Live alumni is being treated at the same facility where his friend and former SNL writer John Mulaney is. He sought treatment for addiction issues, according to Page Six. Davidson and Mulaney joined a string of stars from the popular sketch comedy series who have fought against personal dependency troubles. See, you know, this is the problem we have when we get so cute with medical problems. When they now they in California, I don't know if they have it where you are, when you're hungry and kids don't have food, they call it food insecure. They call it food insecure here in California. I don't know if it's spread out nationally yet. It's like, what's food insecure? Just say you don't have no food. So, you know, they get so cutesy with these clinical words that it's confusing me what it actually is. And, Pat, I guess I'm glad you're here. The Bupkis star has previously disclosed attending. He did a reality show called Bupkis, and so it was about his life. Has previously disclosed attending rehabilitation centers once in 2016 and 2 years later in 2018. So Kim Kardashian was going out with a mentally ill person and fell in love with him. So she dumped with his name and went out with a mentally, and she found herself a mentally ill boy. She jumped Kanye West and went out with Pete Davidson, who's mentally ill.
Holy moly.
Choices. In 2017, Davidson revealed his borderline personality disorder diagnosed on the What the Fuck with Mark Maron Maron podcast. He tried rehab for the first time in December 2016 after experiencing mental health breakdowns, which he credited at the time to his frequent marijuana usage.
Marijuana.
Just a second. Hold on, because she's on a personal call. Hold on. Okay. She's on a business call, so I could hear her. P says, I've been a pothead forever, Davidson said around October, September last year. I started having these mental breakdowns where I would, like, freak out and then not remember what happened after a blind rage. Just recently what happened, and I'm going to tell you something, this is not a coincidence. Last week he drove into a lady's house. He was driving his car in California, and he drove right into a lady's house. and then he left. So after that, coincidentally, he's going to rehab. I don't think he went to rehab on purpose. I think the drug, you know, they made a deal saying, if you go to rehab, we will, you know the deal they make in court. So kind of a coincidence. You just drove your car in the lady's house, and now you're going to rehab. In an attempt to understand what's going on with his mental health, Davidson took a leave of absence from Saturday Night Live and went to rehab. He only signed on as a cast member 2 years before that at 20 years old. He said, I never really did any other drugs, so I was like, I'm going to try to go to rehab. Maybe that'll be helpful, Davidson said. So I go and I get off weed. They told me they're like, you might be bipolar. That's the one. I don't think weed is doing this to this guy. And
no.
You blame it on the weed.
No.
There's some other issues going on with him. He's too stupid to think that you might be bipolar or schizophrenic. What do you think, Pat and Melissa?
Yeah,
that's
ridiculous.
What I think. Exactly.
That's ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the weed.
Exactly. He said, you might be bipolar. I was like, okay. So they're like, we're going to try you on these meds. And then I go out of rehab, and then I started smoking weed again. And I'm on meds. So now I'm on meds, smoking weed. In December 2018, the King of the Staten Island star entered rehab after posting about self-harm. I remember he wanted to commit suicide on social media. That's when he was going out with, was it Ariana Grande? Was it her he was connected to? And then he went to Kim Kardashian? I don't know. He wrote at the time, I really don't want to be on this earth anymore. I'm doing my best to stay here for you, but I actually don't know how much longer I can last. All I ever tried to do was help people. Just remember, I told you so. That's what he put it on. That's what he put on his Instagram. The New York City Department visited NBC Studios to check up on Davidson after the cryptic post was reported. He appeared on Weekend Update to tell viewers he was going on the kind of vacation where, like, insurance pays for some of it, and then they take your phone and shoelaces. I'm going on vacation, and they're going to take my phone and shoelaces. Oh, I'll see you guys in about 6 months. Davidson later made light of his first time in treatment facility during press interviews while attending the Sundance Film Festival in Utah for his comedy, Big Time Adolescence. I love Park City, Utah, because the last time I was here, I was in rehab, he said before sipping a beer. It's nice to be on the other side of it, and also speaks wonders to your rehab facilities. 4 years ago, it worked out great. Earlier this month, Davidson was charged with reckless driving after allegedly crashing his vehicle. Well, not allegedly. He was on video. He crashed into this home, and then he saw him get out, and he ran like the Flintstones. That's how he did. I mean, it's sad. I'm not making light of this because, you know, it's sad when you have an addiction. But blaming it on weed, dude, I think you got more problems than just weed. I really do. I don't think it's weed. Yeah.
Unless something's been added to it on a constant basis.
True. Earlier this month, he was reckless driving after allegedly crashing his vehicle into a Beverly Hills home in March. The Transformer actor was reported traveling with rumored girlfriend Chase Sue Wonders at the time of the incident. I don't know who Chase Sue Wonders is, but okay, sounds like a porn star. When did he break up with Kardashian? Mulaney, 40, served as a writer on SNL for 5 years and has hosted the show 5 times. He discussed everything from his intervention to rehab, staying sober in the last hosting gig in 2022. At his intervention, Mulaney recalled how he had recently seen his dealer and was stocked up on drugs. This is what he said. I remember I walked into my intervention. I had just been to my drug dealer's apartment, and I finally got the right balance, he said, on the past weekend with Theo Vaughn podcast. One pocket all coke. One pocket all Xanax. Coke and Xanax? Coke and Xanax.
What?
Yeah.
And he thinks he's doing good?
Well, this is his friend. He says he finally got the right balance. I guess you do coke and you come down on Xanax. And I was like, I have done it. I reach equilibrium. Upon reaching his house, there was a bunch of people in his home who were worried about his drug and alcohol uses. Mulaney is his friend, too, who went to rehab, so now we're talking about him. He said he hadn't used drugs for a few days. Look, I am sober right now. Look at me. I am sober right now. I kept saying. He tried negotiating with the group. Ultimately, he checked himself into treatment for alcoholism and cocaine addiction. After completing a 60-day stay, he separated from his ex-wife, Anna Marie Tinder. Why do you think he separated from his ex-wife? Because you know she was doing it too. Their divorce was finalized in January 22. He began dating actress Olivia Munn shortly after, and the couple welcomed their first son, Malcolm, in November 21st. Mulaney's trip wasn't his first day in the rehab. He previously discussed substance abuse issues and was sober in 2005, but relapsed years later. Now he says, I don't drink. I used to drink, then I drank too much, and I had to stop. That surprised a lot of audience because I don't look like someone who would use anything, he said in 2012 special in Newtown. Chase has struggled many substances during his career, and he checked into the Betty Ford Clinic in 1980 for treatment for an addiction to prescription painkillers. Now we're talking about Chevy Chase. At the time, the National Lampoon actor developed a dependency on prescription drugs relating to chronic and long-term back problems due to his work on SNL and additional projects. He told the Inquirer magazine in 2010 that despite his rehab stint, he wasn't very big on recreational drugs. Chevy Chase is saying, I never shot things up or freebased. I was pretty low level when it came to drug abuse, Chase said. I checked myself into Betty Ford Clinic after my nose started to hurt. In 2016, the original Weekend Update host, Chevy Chase, re-entered rehab for a tune-up in his recovery. His publicist confirmed that Chase wants to be the best that he can be and was dealing with an alcohol-free related issue. Chris Farley. I met Chris Farley three times, the nicest man in the world. Chris Farley, one of the most beloved Saturday Night comedians, died of a drug overdose. We can go on and on and on. And Chevy, who was the other one? Blues Brother. Aykroyd and who's the other one?
Belushi.
John Belushi.
Belushi, yeah. Oh, my God. And Robin Williams. They used to party all the time. And it's hard, and you see this guy, he still comes out. Have you ever seen Tom Arnold on screen? Watch his hands. He's always moving his hands. He's always fidgeting, and he's moving his fingers like, you know, like he's on coke. Adam Sandler remembers getting fired from SNL with Chris Farley. You know, Tom Arnold recalls supporting Farley as his sober sponsor. Really, Tom Arnold is your sober? If Tom Arnold is your sober sponsor, you got a problem. Tom Arnold, your sober spot. Come on.
Crazy thing.
Farley attempted rehab 16 times before his death. A buildup of fats on the artery walls was also listed as a significant contributing factor. I told him early on, you can be super fat and do drugs. That's death, Arnold told Pay6. You've got to make a choice. It's best you do either, but you cannot do both. At one part, Arnold, we're talking Tom Arnold, had to stage an intervention with Rob Lowe and one of Farley's friends. Oh, Rob Lowe used to be a heavy coker, man. Remember he got in trouble for making that film with a 16-year-old girl? Do you remember that was in his career?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He sits down, and, I mean, this is like a tell-all. At one point, Arnold staged a stage intervention with Rob Lowe, too. Arnold's always, we're talking Tom Arnold, always being a intervention person. He sits down and we'll tell him how much we love him and we want him to go to rehab. It's all set up. He told Pay6, and it's like, I'm going to go, but I need to run back to New York just to grab some stuff. And that means go back to New York and get some more heroin. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler was fired from the show in 1995 alongside Farley, and has since maintained he's unsure why they let go. Sandler triumphantly returned to host the show 2022 for the first time since he was fired and paid an emotional tribute to his friend Farley. And that's when Sandler picked up the guitar and referenced Farley as hit sketches, including this and blah, blah, blah. He was a one-man party. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my friend Chris Farley. Sandler ended the song about Farley's legacy by sharing that his kids laugh at old clips of Farley in the movie Tommy Boy. And when they ask me who's the funniest guy I ever knew, I tell them hand down, without a doubt, it's you, he said. Farley, idol and fellow SNL fan favorite John Belushi, also died of a drug overdose. He was 33 years old. Belushi died at the famous Chateau Marmont. It's a nice hotel. We go on and on and on. Then they go into John. Then we go into John Belushi. So there you go. So he checked. Now, I don't know. If you want to know a boy who needs intervention, is that Jaden Smith. What the fuck is going on with that Jaden Smith? I mean, he is as close as a transgender that you can get. He's just off the cuff, man. He's on something. That's, if you don't know who Jaden Smith is, Will Smith is his father, and his mother is fucked up Jada Smith. That's a fucked up bitch. She is so fucked up. Jaden, I'll just gonna read this and we're out. So apparently Jaden Smith introduced his family to psychedelic drugs. That's what he did. It says Jaden Smith appears very close with his family. He made his film debut starring with his dad, Will Smith, The Pursuit of Happiness, which can be watched on Netflix subscription and was on blah, 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 blah. 24-year-old rapper claiming it was his mother, Jada Pinkett Smith, who introduced the family to them. Together. Jada, it says here, on a mission to save his father in After Earth while working on a film project together was one method of collaboration. The Smith family apparently does psychedelics together with the 24-year-old rapper, actor claiming it was his mother, Jada Pinkett Smith, who introduced the family to them. So Jada introduced the family to psychedelics.
Really?
Yeah, she was the one who introduced the family. Come on, everybody, let's just get high and loopy. Now, I don't know what psychedelics are anymore. Before, I used to think psychedelics were like LSD, maybe shrooms, maybe, I don't even know, hallucinogenics, I guess.
I think you're mostly talking about shrooms.
Shrooms, yeah, okay. Psychedelic drugs or substance. I'm glad we have Pat in the studio. We go to our psychedelic drugs or substance that can change a person's perception, mood, and cognitive functions. They can also cause you to see or hear things that aren't there and make your world appear very distorted. As reported as USA Today, Jaden Smith spoke at the Psychedelic Science Conference in Denver about how he and his family were introduced to these psychedelic drugs, saying, according to E! Online, Jada Pinkett Smith shared that she started using psychedelics, particularly plant medicine, so that tells me shrooms, a decade ago to treat her depression. She felt like the substance helped her feel better, and she gained a new perspective on why she sensed the need to take them in the first place. In the past, Pinkett Smith has been open about using drugs. On an episode of Table Talk, the girl Tripp actually spoke of how she passed out on ecstasy and on the set of The Nutty Professor, and went on to explain that that was the last time she went to work like that. What a nice mama. There you go. That's Hollywood. That's it.
That's it.
I thought I had more news, but I guess I don't. Are we ready to get to sex?
You don't see me offering my grandkids weed or anything? Holy moly.
No, you don't even offer me that.
Well, I would if you were here.
How old are your grandchildren, Pat?
20 and 14.
Wow.
Your grandchildren. Okay.
Yeah.
Your grandchildren are 20 and 14?
Yeah.
Wow. I was getting ready to say, you put them on your knee and you tease them and you sleep with them, but then that would be kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
Would be.
Especially since my grandson outweighs me by 100 pounds. So.
Yeah, that would make it hard.
Wow.
Not me.
Yeah. Pat, I'm going to give you a couple more minutes because I'm going to put some chocolate in my hot chocolate. That's my porn name, Hot Chocolate. Well, remember our porn name? Do you remember your porn name, Melissa? Do you remember it?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
Yes.
What is it?
Sammy School is her porn name, Sammy School.
Yeah.
And she's also our ace reporter.
Yep.
Now, Pat.
And your favorite diabolical bitch. Do you remember
Who, me?
Diabolical bitch.
You're a diabolical bitch. I was really mad at her at that time. I mean, I was really mad at her. We get mad sometimes, and somebody mentioned Melissa. Me and Melissa get mad at each other occasionally. And somebody said something, where's Melissa? Occasionally, every other weekend. Somebody asked about Melissa. I go, that diabolical bitch. Now, Pat, we got to get you. My porn name is Champ. What is my – I forgot what it is. Champ. Lewis or something like that. Okay, here's how we get your porn name, Pat. What is it? Your first pet and the first street you lived on. The name of your first pet and the first street you remember that you lived on. So what was the name of your first pet you ever had, Pat?
Holy moly.
Careful.
My memory's not good, honey. I think it was Mittens and...
Mittens? Okay, let's go
with
Mittens. Do you remember...
Must have been a cat.
Yeah, it could be a cat, Mittens. Sounds like a cute little kitty.
Yeah, it was.
And do you remember the... My poor name was Champ Clark. That's my...
Champ Clark.
Or
that's
Clark
actually
Champ,
pretty good.
Whatever.
And
so,
what was the other word I had to come up with?
The name of the first street that you remember that you lived on.
Portage.
So you're Mitten Portage?
Mitten Portage.
Mitten Portage. That's your porn name? Hey, here you go, Mitten Portage. Look at the film she made. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
Portage
Road is where the Indians used to pass the falls. It was a pathway that turned into a road.
Wow. There you go. So Mittens, that's your poor name, Mittens.
Mittens.
All right. I know.
No.
Hello, hello, baby Sean.
Being very
hello.
Fresh today.
Hi.
He's talkative today.
Okay. Say hi to everybody. He's angry today.
Hello, Sean. Oh,
say hi.
Mad?
Hi.
Hi, Sean.
Nope, he's hateful today.
Oh, he's coming in
oh,
hot.
Oh, well.
He's coming
he's
in hot.
He's diabolical. Uh-huh.
He's diabolical. Here we go, sex-starved wives. Here we go. It's an epidemic of sex-starved women. Tell me if you know this. Here we go. No sex. No sex at all. None. 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 No sex.
Well, that's
come
probably where all
says,
those toys come from.
Yeah, I know. Well, no. Even sex, even with toys is sex, so there's no sex. None. No toys or nothing. None. No sex. And it says here, I heard a joke the other day that goes something like this. A couple seeks marital therapy. The wife complains that her husband isn't interested in having sex. At one point in the middle of the session, the therapist grabs the woman, kisses her passionately while she oohs and ahs with delight. The therapist then turns to the husband and says, see, your wife needs this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The husband is quiet for a moment and then replies, Monday and Wednesday will work, but I can't get her here on Friday. I got a golf game. I saw that one coming. So the joke caught, I'm reading now. The joke caught my attention because it had an unfamiliar ring to it. The husband didn't want sex. See, we're used to standard jokes about desireless women who prefer doing just about anything, cleaning out the freezer, paying bills, or taking out the garbage, or over having sex with their mates.
There's guys like that, believe me.
Yeah. But this is a new twist, I might add, that has quite a bit of truth to it. As someone who is in front lines with couples, I have grown increasingly aware that women have no corner on the low libido market. In fact, based on my clinical observation and casual conversation with colleagues, I say that low desire in men is America's best-kept secret. There are some women who don't want anything to do with at a certain age, they don't want anything to do with a man. Nothing. Nothing. And they're heterosexual. After all, in a culture where fertility is connected with masculinity, why would any man want to broadcast his drop in desire? Most of the data available is the incidence of low libido in men is based on self-report and estimates very widely. Do we really know what goes on behind closed door? I don't think so. Here we go.
No, I don't think so either.
That's true. Although it isn't hardcore research by any stretch of the imagination, she's talking about the magazine, and magazine to survey women about their views on their husband's sexual appetites, we found some very interesting results. And here it is. 60% of women surveyed said they wanted sex just as much, if not more, than their husbands. The majority of low-desire men are unwilling to discuss this issue. I hate these little phrases, low-desired men. Shut up. Just say impotent men or EDD men. This low-desire men. Shut up. Unwilling to discuss their issues with their wives and resist seeking help from doctors or therapists. They also won't talk to their buddies about it. It's hard to imagine a guy walking into the locker room telling his friend, "I really wish my wife didn't want sex all the time. I hate that she thinks of me as a sex object." And another thing, why can't we just hug without her thinking we have to have sex? She just wants to have sex. She has a one-track mind. Men's unwillingness to openly discuss this matter leaves women feeling exasperated, lonely, and hopeless. You know, I have a theory. You want to hear my theory?
Yep.
Okay. I'm hearing something vibrate there, Pat. Are you happy
Sorry,
to see me,
I'll
or
you
just love
mute.
The conversation?
I'll put you on mute.
Oh my God. You're terrible. Oh, do you remember this for Cole? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Can you hear that? It's the same one.
Yeah, I do.
When Cole wouldn't shut up, I'd put that on. Yeah. He's on my mind today.
Hmm?
Yeah. Yeah. He's on my mind. I don't know why.
It's like memory lane, kiddo.
Yeah.
Hang in there. He's around. Trust me, I can feel him. Another interesting point is that the person with lower sexual desire, in this case, the husband, controls the frequency of sex. He has the veto power. Not only that, he expects his wife to accept it, not complain about it, and to remain monogamous is an expectation that is bound to backfire over time. The survey also suggests that there is less sex in marriages when the husband has low desire than in marriages where women are the ones who say no. That's because our culture, men are expected to be the initiators. And when his wife, who initiates it but gets turned down frequently, she is more likely to give up than her male counterpart. Another myth buster revealed by the survey was what women said were the cause for their husband's lack of desire. Contrary to popular belief, you know, there's a big lie that goes on, and men do this to women all the time, especially when they're mad at them. If they can't get it up, they would blame the woman, and the woman is dumb enough to believe that. That is not true. That is not true, because everybody knows it takes blood to go through. There's not a bone in your penis. It's blood that's flowing through your penis. And sometimes there's a lot of things as you get older. Huh?
I didn't know that.
You did too. did.
I did not know that.
You were diabolical.
Diabolical. Yeah.
Some people think there's a bone in your penis. There's no bone. There's not a bone in your penis. It's the blood flow through your penis that gets it hard. It flows into your penis. That's what gets it hard. And so if a man cannot achieve erection, it's not because of someone that he's not turned on to. It's that there's a blockage. There's something going on with that person. You know. Right, baby? Right?
Okay.
I
have no idea what you're saying right now.
I'm talking about men who can't get it up and the blood's not in their penis.
You would know more about that.
No, I would not know more about that.
Then I would know.
I'm just, let's
you
say.
You have one.
I have what? Okay. Woman.
Tell Cindy that there is no bone in the penis. Just let her know.
Cindy,
let her know.
I catch. You just got a business call. There is no bone. So when people say I got a bone, and there is no bone, there's no bone, no bone at all.
Amazing.
Just blood flow. And so when a man blames the women, you know, you couldn't. I'm not excited by you. That's just him covering over his own inadequacies that he can't get it up. And there could be a lot of reasons he can't get it up. It's about the blood flowing. It could be he's a smoker. He's smoking too much. Whatever. That blocks the blood that's not coming down and is blocking. It's an overactive prostate or whatever. So that's what I'm just trying to tell you. If anything you're getting from the show, kiddo, is like there is no bone in penises.
Nope.
Another myth buster revealed by the survey was what women said were the causes of their husband's lack of desire. Contrary to popular belief, that the only reason a man would turn sex down is because his machinery isn't working properly or their wives are extremely unattractive. That just isn't so. Oh, I just said that. Men, it seems, turns off to sex for many reasons. And some of the reasons is their wives do emotional disconnection, underlying resentment, or unresolved problems, depression, stress, and so on. In fact, one of the most common reasons why men reject their wives' advances is that they feel their wives are critical or bossy or naggy of them, simply isn't an aphrodisiac. So that's one of the reasons. And you know, goes on. So this might explain a lot of things. Let's see. The problem is which comes first, the chicken or egg. A man turns off to being sexual because their wives complain, or they do complain and behave angrily because their husbands are physically and emotionally withdrawn. Does she understand I'm on the phone and I'm working here?
I know, she's got nothing to do.
I'm going to have to smack her again. Just smack her across the lips.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do to keep your woman in line. Just a, that's why God gave men the backhand. Bam, 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 bam.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So true, right?
I'm going to have to. Okay, yes, the infamous Catch-22, therein lies the problem. When there is a sexual divide, each spouse waits for the other to change. If you're nice to me, then I'll have sex with you. Or when you have sex with me, I'll be kinder to you. You don't need a degree in psychology to know that this sort of standoff is playing with fire. The stalemates make.
Oh yeah.
You know, the stalemates make marriage. Can you guys hear that in the background, or is it just me?
Not really, just muffled. Not really.
Okay. And before I get nasty comments or emails about the fact that there are millions and millions of men who go to bed lonely, I know, I've written extensively on this subject. For the record, I routinely, thank you, encourage women who have little or no understandings about their husband's sexual needs to place more priority on their physical relationship. But now it's time to nudge men who have shut down and turned off to climb out of their comfort zone and reconnect with women they love. Don't you agree? This is where she comes in, Michelle Wiener. That's her name, Michelle Wiener. I swear, I'm not making it up. Michelle Weiner. She's the creator of Divorce Busting Centers. Learn how, blah, blah, blah. Add my divorce on Facebook. You can add her on Facebook. Her Facebook is Add My Divorce Busting Facebook page. Let me see her Facebook page. And subscribe to Divorce Busting. So that's her Facebook page. You can see her on Facebook. It's called Divorce Busting. And there's YouTube and blah, 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 blah. There she is. There's the wiener. And that's what we're talking about today. So people are up there saying, okay, let's juice it up. Let's juice it up. Let's juice it up. Well, at this point right here, I'm going to give you some information. What to know about mismatched sex drives. And, you know, people in relationships, they may differ in how much sex they want. I'm not going to go into that. What I found very interesting is they list a lot of things, but something was very interesting. We all know what can affect your sex drive. It could be the medication you're on. It could be as simple as that. It could be menopause. It could be pregnancy. Let's see. How can it – there's something in here. Be comfortable talking about sex. Now, Pat, are you there?
Yeah.
Pat, are you there? Are you a dirty talker? Are you a dirty talker
in
bed?
No, I don't. I don't,
you don't
generally.
You don't dirty – you don't cuss or anything? You're not a dirty – you're just – do you just hum, or
you mean
just
cussing? I cuss.
Yeah. Well,
I think he means in the bedroom.
In the bedroom.
Oh, in the bedroom. Well, yeah. Only in the middle of things.
do you say "give it to me, big boy"? Give me the and f me up and give it to me good. You stud, you stallion man, you. Pool boy.
Well, not those words, but yeah, there's something along those lines. Yep.
It's like spank my bottom, Boy Scout. I mean, stuff like that.
Well,
no. I think Pat's a little bottom spanker. Pat,
No. You know why?
Why?
Because that's how I used to get abused with the belt, so I'm not encouraged by somebody doing that.
No, I'm thinking you doing that to them.
No, too painful a memory.
Okay, but you are a dirty talker. You are a dirty talker a bit. Do you use the F word a lot when you're making love?
Probably.
Say it in a sentence, Pat. Say it in a sentence.
Okay, not at this moment.
I understand. We could just use the initials. Just use the initials. Don't say the word. So Pat, you're in bed right now, right? You're with some husky guy. He's a nice-looking guy. He's the Italian chef at the restaurant. And you see Luigi and Mario there with their little kerchief around their neck, and they're making the pasta, and you can see through the window and the dark hair and the dark eyes. And Luigi says, how you doing, Pato? That's my analogy, you know. And you want me to make a pesto and a pesto out of your breasts. So you go there, and now Luigi is on you. Mario's watching. And you're in a
You don't know Italians very good, do you?
I have not a clue. So do you say
they're a little sneakier than that?
Yeah. we can
lots
guess what
memories.
Goes on there. We the memories of the nice Italian guy I used to know. Smiles we gave to one another. Okay. So here's a woman right now talking about sex-starved marriages. Her name is Michelle Weiner. And we're going to listen to the Weiner talk, and she may give you some ideas. You going to lock me out? Okay. So here we go. And here we go.
About sex. To be more precise, the sex starves marriage. And when I'm done, you'll know three things that you can do to prevent it from happening in your life. So first I'd like to tell you a story. For the last three decades, I've been specializing in work with 911 couples, couples who are truly teetering on the brink of divorce. I resuscitate flatlined relationships. I try to teach couples what they need to know to resolve their differences and fall back in love and put their kids in bed at night together. It's not an easy job, but I didn't choose my career. My career chose me. You see,
if you're texting a girl you really like, but she's leaving you on red, waiting hours to reply, or ghosting you whenever you ask her out, then listen up and face this f***ing fact. She's always on her phone. Girls are always on their phone, which means she sees your messages popping up, but she's choosing not to reply. Why? Because you are boring. Your messages don't excite her, they don't stand out, and they don't give her any motivation to meet up with you. How do I know this? Because I know.
See, I grew up in an incredible family. Two loving parents who never fought, two great brothers, a large extended family with whom we spent every weekend and all of our holidays, until one fateful day, I was 16 years old and a senior in high school, and my mom called us all in for a family meeting, and she proceeded to tell us that she'd been miserable for 23 years in her marriage, and she was getting a divorce from my father. No one saw it coming. I told you, my parents never fought. I remember the feeling of blood rushing from my body, thinking, how could this be happening? I'm leaving home, and my nest is falling apart. And that's precisely what happened. Divorce not only ends a marriage, it dissolves a family. And the sadness about the breakup of my family still lingers today. That's because divorce is forever. Now, my parents' divorce affected me in a number of ways. First, it made me incredibly impassioned about learning everything I possibly could about how to have a healthy, loving, lasting relationship so I could apply it in my own life with my own family and my own marriage. And I'm very proud to say that one of my biggest accomplishments is my nearly 40-year marriage to my husband, Jim. And if you knew him, you'd know what an accomplishment this really is. The other thing my parents' divorce made me do is be incredibly impassioned about teaching what I know to anyone who crosses my path. Now, when I say that, I really mean that. I'm not just talking about the couples in my practice. I do some of my best work on airplanes or online at Whole Foods. Or as a matter of fact, that's why I'm here right now. I want to warn you about the inevitable pitfalls of a sex-starved marriage. But what is that? So, a sex-starved marriage is one where one spouse is desperately longing for more touch, more physical closeness, more sex, more physical affection. And the other spouse is thinking, what is the big deal? Would you just get a life? It's just sex. But to the spouse yearning for more sex and more touch, it's a huge deal. Because it really is about feeling wanted, about feeling loved, about feeling connected, about feeling masculine or feminine and attractive. And when this major disconnect happens, what also happens is that intimacy on all levels goes right out the door. They stop sitting next to each other on the couch. They quit laughing at each other's jokes. They don't spend time together. They stop being friends. And it places the marriage at risk of infidelity and divorce. Now, some of the reasons that people have low desire or an insatiable appetite for sex are very complicated and deep-seated. But I'm happy to tell you that the primary cause for a sex-starved marriage is also the simplest to solve. And before I explain that solution, I really want to go on record for saying that if you're sitting here thinking, low sexual desire is a woman's issue, I want you to think again. Women do not have a corner on the low libido market. I'm convinced that low desire in men is one of our very best kept secrets. Now, having said that, I want to also tell you about a little talked about fact, and that is when it comes to a sex starved marriage, the person with lower sex drive controls the sexual relationship. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that this person is intentionally mean-spirited or unkind or manipulative. I just mean if that person isn't interested in sex, the partner may as well go take a cold shower because it's not going to happen. Now, I find this really curious on a couple of counts because when we think about how decisions are made in marriage, we generally think about mutuality. Two people decide when to get married, whether to have kids, how to raise those kids, what to do about the finances, the in-laws, who's going to do what around the house. But conspicuously missing from that mix is anything having to do with sex. What's it like, the nature, the quality, the quantity? I find this incredible. I know couples who have been married for 20 to 30 years who have never spoken about sex. The other thing that's really amazing to me about this unilateral decision-making is one person decides no sex and expects the partner to accept it, not complain about it, and, oh, yes, you have to be monogamous. Now, this is an unworkable arrangement. Let me tell you about a couple in my practice. So meet John and Mary. They've been married for 15 years, and John's a real laid-back kind of guy, and he doesn't like to complain about much, except in the last 15 minutes of my session with him, he finally gets up the courage to tell me about something that has been bothering him for a long, long time, that there really is only a two-hour window of opportunity on Friday nights between 10 and 12 where Mary might be interested in sex, and he knows not to bother her at any other time. Like you, laughing, I glanced over at Mary, and Mary was chuckling because she recognized herself in that description.
A lot of people don't know this, but the best way to prevent divorce, stop separation, and win your wife back is not talking about your problems. It's not trying to make your wife happy and begging her. And it's definitely not seeing a couple therapist. Now, you may be saying to yourself right now, well, if it's not those things, then what is it? But over the past 8 years as a licensed therapist, I've been absolutely obsessed with understanding why wives truly leave their husbands and what causes couples to restore their marriage in a matter of weeks. And I...
John wasn't laughing. He wasn't smiling. And so I said to him, John, what's this been like for you? And he said to me, I want to talk to Mary. He turned to her, took a deep breath. He said, when I reach out to you in bed and you're not there for me, the only thing I ever think about, are you attracted to me anymore? Do you love me like I love you? Do you want to be with me? And then when you go to sleep and I'm lying next to you and staring up at the ceiling, all I can think about is this is the loneliest feeling in the world, lying next to you in bed. And to Mary's credit, her eyes filled up with tears. And she reached out and grabbed John's hands. And she said, John, I have to tell you, in all the years we've been married, I never, not once, have thought about what it's like to be you. I only think about, am I in the mood? Am I not in the mood? I am so, so sorry. I'll do better. John began to cry. I began to cry. For me, it was a magical moment. Because it was the first time in the history of their marriage that Mary was stretching outside her comfort zone to try to understand John's pain, his loneliness, his alienation, his need to connect with her. And she promised she would do better. It was a beginning of a breakthrough for them. Unfortunately, for so many couples, it doesn't work that way. In fact, very often, the very thing that couples do to deal with a sex-starved marriage actually makes things worse. Let me give you an example. So he says, honey, do you want to put the kids to bed early tonight, have a glass of wine, and fool around? And she says, I have so much on my mind, I'm not relaxed, and I have a headache. You were the one to tell me last week that women are great multitaskers. Can't you have a headache and sex at the same time? I don't think you're funny. Furthermore, what part of no don't you get? Look, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm furious. We haven't had sex in 6 weeks. I hate this relationship. It's just not working. You raise your voice and you talk to me like that, and then you expect me to want to touch you? Plus, do you realize for the last 2 or 3 weeks you haven't been home at all? And when you are home, you don't talk to me. We don't do things together. You're angry and you're withdrawn. I am not going to have sex with you like that. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm out of here. So, what's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. In the early stages of dealing with a sex-starved marriage, the person with higher desire usually approaches his or her spouse with open-heartedness and vulnerability, saying things like, I miss you, I want to have sex with you. But when those pleas for connection are met with unresponsiveness, like they often are, then that vulnerability quickly turns into anger and contempt. Anger is not an aphrodisiac. Anger leads to sexual withdrawal. Sexual withdrawal leads to heightened anger. Heightened anger leads to sexual anorexia, and on and on. And then both people wait for the other person to change. And that's how marriages go down the drain. So what are they supposed to do? Well, here's what they're supposed to do. He needs to get a grip on his anger, regardless of whether he feels shortchanged or not. Apparently, he needs to spend time with her and talk to her and be present in her life. He needs to recognize that it's those things that will turn her on. And what does she need to do? Well, despite her feelings, she needs to adopt the Nike philosophy and just do it. Why? For two reasons. The first is obvious. He'll be happy. He'll be nicer. He'll be more present. Mostly he'll be more grateful. But there's another reason. It has nothing to do with him, and it's all about her. Look, I wish I had a dollar for each time someone in my practice said to me, Michelle, I wasn't in the mood for sex when my partner approached me, but once we got into it, I had a really good time. I had a great orgasm. We enjoyed each other. And then afterwards, we had the best conversation that we've had in months. And when I described that scenario to a couple in my practice, the husband said, yikes, that's my wife. I wish she would just write on her hand, I like sex, so she remembers it for the next time. So look, there's actually some science to this. I saw this so often in my practice that I started scouring the research, and I bumped into the work of Dr. Rosemary Bassin, and she took the mystery out of my observations. So the human sexual response cycle is considered to have four stages. The first is desire, and this means that you could be doing just about anything, taking a walk, studying for a test, preparing a meal, talking to a friend, and all of a sudden you have this random lusty thought and you start fantasizing about sex. Second stage is arousal. You get with your partner, you get physically aroused, and you feel that sensation inside. The third stage, orgasm. Do you need an explanation? Fourth stage, resolution. Your body goes back to its normal resting state. Well, apparently, according to Dr. Bassin's research, for millions of people, stages one, desire, and two, arousal, are actually reversed, that their bodies have to be physically stimulated and aroused in order for their brains to register there is desire. The desire is there, but it's not the compelling force to initiate sex. So, if this sounds like you or a friend of a friend, it behooves you to be receptive to your partner's advances, even from a neutral starting place, because once you get into it, you're bound to remember, I like sex. So, here's the deal. As human beings, we are hardwired for connection. We are learning through some groundbreaking research in social neuroscience that our need to connect with people we love is more fundamental and more basic than our need for food and shelter. And the opposite is also true, that disconnection hurts. I mean, get this. When scientists look into the functional MRIs of the brains of people who have just experienced a recent divorce or they're brokenhearted because of a breakup, the exact same regions of their brains light up as in the brains of people who are experiencing physical pain. And the same is not true for other negative emotions like sadness and anxiety and fear. Just for rejection. Rejection's unique. Rejection hurts. So when your partner comes over to you and says, I'm looking at this amazing sunset and I want to share it with you, or I just read this incredible article and I want you to read it, or can we just turn off our cell phones on Friday night so we can spend some time together uninterrupted, or we haven't made love for a while, I'd love to snuggle in bed and make love to you. If we're not interested, if we're not in the mood, rejection hurts. So what are we supposed to do? Well, here are those three lessons I promised you in the beginning of my talk. Number one, we all have different ways of feeling connected to one another. We need to know our way, but we have to become experts in our partner's way of feeling connected to us. Number two, if you're with someone who's yearning for more touch and more physical closeness and more sex, don't delude yourself into thinking it's just sex, it's like scratching an itch. Sex is a powerful way of connecting and bonding with somebody you love. And number three, when you get your partner's way of connecting to you, you don't have to fully understand it. You don't have to fully agree with it. You just have to do it. And you want to know why? Two reasons. From everything I've learned about relationships, healthy relationships are based on mutual caretaking. Plus, it's an act of love. Now look, everyone, I know that what I'm asking you to do is really, really challenging because I'm asking you to put someone else's needs above your own. But I truly believe that if more of us took to heart the very crucial idea that we have to take better care of each other and that we don't have to be slaves to our own emotions, then we can make this world a more loving place. One marriage, one relationship at a time. People tell me that I'm a psychotic optimist, but I tell them that's okay. It's a communicable disease. Thank you.
I think she's really good. I really think she's really good. You know, it's funny. It is funny, not funny, but let's say funny and not funny. Funny means strange. Funny means strange. And what I mean by that is that, you know, during this this journey of me, you know, doing what I have to do, a doctor said to me, it's a give and take. You got to give something, you'll lose something. You'll give something, you'll lose something. It's a give and take. It's a give and take. That's just what life is. It's give and take. And then I started, you know, doing the show and everything, and I got a lot of women who are by themselves, and I got a lot of women who don't need a man. I got a lot of women who are authors, you can live without a man, blah, blah, blah. And it's true. And it takes me back to when I was a child. My mom and my dad were divorced, and my mom was around 45 at the time. And I said, Mom, how come you're not dating? She goes, and we did not live with my mother. We saw her every 2 weeks, so who knows what she was doing. But anyway, I asked her. There was, you know, she never introduced us to a boyfriend or whatever. She was that kind of person, you know. But I asked her one time, how come you're not dating? She's 45. She goes, why would I want to date an old man my age, 45? That was her answer. And then I realized that, and I have met a lot of these women, and they're usually 45 and older. Usually 45 and older, and I have met a lot of them. There was no secret. I loved making love to married women. Married women were the best. They were the best. And the reason why making love to a married woman who was the best, who was really unhappy, is because they want to, and it's a shame. And it's because they've been abused a lot. And whether it's mentally abused, physically abused, but they're not accepted. They're not wanted. They're not relish. You know, they're not, let's just go stay with accepted. So if they do venture out and they do take you on, they are the best lovers in the world because they're doing things to please you because they have to put in their heads that they are not the thing that their husband keeps calling them. You know, you're dried up and you're the, you know, all the bad things that will get in your head because somebody's saying things out of anger. So they find somebody and they're eager to please you. I mean, they go out of their way. And plus, they only been with one man, so now they're with a different man. So they're going to make sure that your memory is that that's the best. And they want that accolade. They want that approval. They want that you are not that bad. You are great. There's nothing wrong with you kind of thing. And it's great. Now, and then we can move on to phone sex. And we laugh at this because I'm in California, and if you were up late at night, there was always that 900 number commercial. Hi, my name is Betty, and I'm waiting for you. I go, shut up, Betty. My woman's right here. You can call me at 1-900, blah, 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 only $2.95 a minute. I go, well, I got 10 bucks. It's true, and it's not cheating because it's on a commercial. It's a product, right? So you're saying it's not cheating, and so I called, and it was one of those lines like, "Hi, you know, this is a whatever horny hotline," and I go, "Can I talk to Betty?" Sure, and Betty was always available. I don't know why Betty didn't have many calls, but she was always available. I go, sure, I'll connect you to Betty. Hi, this is Betty. Hi, Betty. Saw you on TV. And he goes, yes. What is your fantasy? To do it on my roof. Okay. Do you want to do it on your roof? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm in. And I swear to God, here's how it goes. Well, you get comfortable, big boy. Yay. And we're going to go on your really sexy voice. Yes, Betty. I'm hypnotized by Betty. Meanwhile, I got to check to see if my girlfriend is snoring so she doesn't interrupt me and my girl. Okay, I'm good, Betty. Okay. We're on a roof. And you know what I'm wearing? What are you wearing? Oh, I'm wearing this teddy and it has lace and all of this, and I got crosses. Uh-oh.
You're easy to amuse, aren't you?
Yeah, that's me. And then he goes, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach in your pants. And then I hear this little thing. It's another $2.95. Press 1, please. Shut up. Beep. Betty, are you there? Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Now I'm reaching in your pants. Yes. Oh, you're a big boy down there. Yes, I am. Yeah, thank you, Betty. Okay, and then I'm pulling down my panties and my silk drawers and my bra, and my nipples are just so hard because it's a big breeze and everything. And I go, oh, yes. And then I hear, that'll be another $2.95. I go, oh, shit. Well, I only had $10. I'm only up to her panties. I don't have it. Click. Betty. So what saying is that cheating? Is that cheating? And then I'm going with this with women who are 45 and older, and these have been my experience, that some of them they've been in relationships, they're done. They got divorced, they're done. They don't want to deal with a man, they don't want to deal with anything, they don't want to deal with nobody else's problems, they're done, they're by themselves. And they stay by themselves. Now, going back to the theory of give and take, right? It's like what the doctor says, give and take. Okay. Then I realized, and I did a lot of study, I realized that when a woman steps out of a marriage or whatever, it's not about fucking at all. And it took me years to realize it. It's not about the fuck. They don't want to see your dick pic. They don't want to see your shiny man nipples. They don't want to see your six-pack, and they sure don't want to see you take a picture of your butt and you send it to them. This does nothing for them. And then I realize what it is about, and it here's the give and take. So when you have a woman who is 45 and older and she hasn't dated or whatever, and she says, I'm happy, she's not, because you know what, the give and take. You know what she's not, you know what she's missing? Can anybody guess what she's really missing? And this is what even with phone sex brings to. You know what she's missing? She's missing intimacy. And we don't talk about that. See, a woman, you can't call a woman and say, hey, what the fuck? You can't go, okay, look, my dick is hard. I want to put it in your mouth. You know, suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it, bitch. Suck it, suck it, suck it. That's not getting her off. She's not on the other end going, oh, my, give it to me, Long Ranger. She's not doing that. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Most of the time, it's about intimacy. This is the thing that even if you're by yourself, and someone will say, well, I'm fine with that. Okay, that's fine. But, you know, and you're used to it. But you're giving up the intimacy with another person. Even having the phone sex is a form of intimacy with somebody and connecting with someone. Like the woman said, connecting with someone, sharing something, and being intimate with someone. You have, so that's what it is. It's intimacy. And just sharing something and being appreciative and being loving, even though you don't know this person right away, just his words and your imagination, and you don't know this, but your imagination is going because you're connecting with your imagination because you haven't felt that much. It's not that you're feeling horny. It's not that you're feeling like you need sex. It's not that you're feeling like you need a dick inside you. It's you're feeling intimacy and connection. And that's what they're missing. And some women go forever without intimacy. And intimacy is very important. I'm going to tell you one more story, then we're going to go there. I'm looking at the time. I remember Pat going, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about furries. She goes, are we going to spend 3 hours on furries? No, I got other stuff. She goes, I hope so. Well, I'm giving you other stuff. I'm giving you other stuff. And I'm going to tell a story. And I always relate to this. Melissa knows this. This is when she goes and makes dinner.
Oh, you're telling the story again.
I'm going to make dinner. But here we go. 22 years old. I'm up and coming. Not that kind of coming, but I'm up and coming in my profession. I'm doing good. I never date anybody on the set. I never date anybody in production. That's my rule. This woman was really gorgeous. She was my makeup artist. Very gorgeous. Long blonde hair. And just she could be a supermodel. Just pure face, whatever. Just nice. And I found out that I have a ponytail fetish, and she put that ponytail back there, and she would sway her head, and it hypnotizes me like a cuckoo clock. You know the clock with the cat eyes that follow you back and forth when you – that's how my eyes were when I saw her. That's how, when I saw her swing her ponytail, that's how my eyes was going. And so she goes – would you like to go out with me? I said, I don't date people I work with. She goes, okay, then let's not date. I go, okay, Kelly, would you like to accompany me? Go horseback riding. Now, I only went horseback riding a couple of times. It's a short story. Horseback riding sounds fun. Sounds innocent. So we go to horseback riding. I go, I got to get my horseback riding outfit. She goes, okay, I got to change. So I'm changing into my black Levi's. I have brown cowboy boots. I have a Levi shirt on, the light Levi blue shirt on. I got aviator glasses, and she goes, you're missing one thing, and she gave me this black Stetson cowboy hat. So that's what I look like. So I got a black cowboy hat. I got two buttons down. I got a gold chain. I got aviator sunglasses on. I got my boots, and I got my black Levi's and my white Levi shirt. I'm ready to rock. We get there. And she asked me, do you ever ride? I go, I don't ride, maybe twice. And I was telling her the truth. She goes, okay. So we go to the stable lady. The stable lady gave her a horse, and she goes to me, do you ever ride? And I go, oh, a couple of times. She goes, well, I'm going to give you Old Smokey. Old Smokey, that horse looked like it was dead. Even the flies were on this horse, not because they were bothering the horse, it was because they were eating the horse. That's how old that horse was. I go, are you kidding me? I want that one. She goes, you want the fire starter? With a name like that? Cool. She goes, are you sure you never read before? I never read before. A couple of times. But this is, and he was, and so as they were getting the saddle on her, I'm looking at the horse. I'm eyeballing the horse, and the horse is looking at me with that one eye. And he didn't blink at all. That horse was just pissed off. And I go, look, horse, you want to make me look good? Come on, there can be an apple in it for you. I'm talking to the horse. And so I make the mistake. So the lady says, okay, get on a horse. I get on a horse. And I call the horse a puppy. Good puppy. She goes, the horse is not a dog. It's a horse. Good puppy. And I'm annoying the lady. It's a horse. All right. Take it easy, cowgirl. I'm on a horse. I'm standing straight, tall in the saddle, my friends. Tall in the saddle. Me and Firestarter underneath my, between my legs. That don't sound right, but it did. I went, good puppy, good puppy. Then she hits the horse on his ass, and all of a sudden the horse goes, ooh. I think the horse liked it and took off. I'm going, ooh. So I'm riding, and I'm riding, and I'm riding. The horse is in a fast trot. I'm riding. She's with me. She's catching up with me. She goes, you look so fucking good in the horse. I go, yeah, baby. She goes, oh, my God, you look hot riding that horse. You look tall in the saddle. I go, you're damn right. And she goes, come on, cowboy. That's right. I go, you know what? I'm going to ride this horse like I'm going to ride you later on. She goes, oh, my. And so she takes off. Catch me. And I go, okay. Catch her. Catch her. Pass her up. We come to a lake. And she goes, let's stop here. I go, okay, we stop here. Now, she ties her horse. I don't know why you should be tying your horse. I don't want to tie my horse. I want my horse to be free. So we're sitting by the lake, and there goes my horse. She goes, is that your horse? I go, yeah. What's he doing? She goes, you didn't tie your horse? No. So the horse is going. So the horse is going up the trail by itself. And she goes, oh, my God. She goes, what are we going to do? I said, don't worry about it. Give me your horse. I hop on the horse. I go, yeah, and I'm racing that horse, catching up with my horse. I caught my horse, got the ring, take the horse back. Now, I'm doing this. I could only do this by memory of John Wayne. Come on, Duke. I'm summering my dog, my John Wayne. Bring the horse back. She is just like, oh, my God, you make me so hot. Look at you. You just took off on that horse like you were riding for the airs. Oh, my God. I go, yeah, ain't nothing. Come on, get on, little filly. She goes, okay, cowboy. And then we're riding back. And so we're riding back together. She had her cowboy hat on. She looked great. I had my cowboy hat on. I look good. We're riding side by side. We're going back to the stable. She goes, I love how you work in a production. I go, yeah, can you tell me a story? I go, sure, I'll tell you a story. I go, I'm my little chickadee, right, Dale? She goes, right, Roy. Those are little pet names, Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. We're walking. The horse is in slow walking now. And I go, give me, you know the song. Don't fence me in, you know me. You know the name of the song? Da, 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 da. Don't fence me in. You know the song, right? Right? Come on, somebody say
no.
Yes.
No.
You
no.
don't know the... Okay. I used to know the song by heart. I think Melissa knows the song. Wait a minute. Here's the song. So I knew it back then. And so we're walking, and she says, tell me a story. So I sing her the song as we're walking. And here's the song. Here's the song. Let me see if I can get it. Okay. So I'm singing a song to her. She's going, oh, she is swooning. She goes, you sing bad, but it sounds so good. I go, yes. Here's the song that I was singing to her as we're walking.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in.
Oh, I know
this
song.
The wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please. Don't fence me in. Just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't send me in.
So that's what I was singing to her as we were going into the thing.
I remember it now, but you didn't tell me it was from a 1920s movie, you know.
It, I loved those old movies when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I loved those old movies. I stayed up late to see these
Sunday
old cowboy
afternoon.
Movies. Yeah.
Sunday afternoon movies.
You can hear me sing during your meeting? Did they applaud me? No. They hated me? They heard me during your meeting?
I heard you before a meeting with
Hey, they get a bonus. They're lucky.
You're lucky.
Ah, they're lucky. Ah, the bastards. I'm not supposed to sing when she has a meeting. So that's how it was. That's what it was. And so she whispers to me. She goes, you get something. You're going to meet Meikle tonight. And it ties in. I go, Meikle? Yeah, you're going to meet Meikle. I go, good. Okay. And so she says, come over around 7. Meikle will be there. I go, okay, because I can't date her. So Meikle is in. She's in play. So I show up, and she's about 5'5", a little thing. Don't fence me in. Yes, don't fence me in.
Stop it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Sir, your meeting will be starting soon.
Don't fence me in. Oh, God, you lucky woman. Okay. We're alone. We're alone. So I go over around 7 o'clock, right? I knock on a door. And this Asian woman answers the door, and it was her. She was in full white makeup, you know, the old-fashioned with the, you know, the white makeup. And she the dark eyelash, she was full Asian. You could not tell. She did such a marvelous job that even her eyes were a little slanted and everything. She looked just like an Asian woman. And she had even a back, you know, in the back when I guess they're married or something, and they have that little backpack in back of them. She was, and then she had the Asian kimono, and she stayed in character. I said, Meikle? Oh, Brian-san. Oh, yeah? Oh, come in. Wipe your feet. Get in sandal. I go, okay, I get in sandal. I wipe my feet. She goes, oh, let me, and then, she, you know, we sat cross-legged, and she fed me sushi, and then and she had the chopsticks. The whole bit. The whole freaking bit. I mean, you would swear that you're with an Asian person. That's how good she was. She was a special effect makeup artist. It was a beautiful night. So what I'm trying to say is role-playing can work. Okay, I'm getting into something. I'm getting here. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Beautiful night. So when it comes to, so and that leads to this, can role-playing be a good thing? I mean, we go back to the thing about let's juice it up. You know, can it be a good thing?
Of course it can.
But when can it be an obsessive thing? And I will answer your question, but here's one. I got a reminder. Like I see a lot of 111s coming in. We're almost out of time. It's Friday. 111s, if you want to talk, just there's somebody who wants to talk. I'm sorry, there's a whole time. If you want to talk, just press 1. Just press 1, and I'll open up your mic. Here's 1. 111, you have your hand raised up. Hello.
I don't want to just talk. I want to inform. What you doing today, Brother Brian?
Brother Sarge, I'm preaching. Brother Sarge, let me tell you something, and you would know this. Some people, you have
to. I would.
You would. I'm going to tell you something. And I'm saying this with respect and love. I'm saying it with respect and love, what I'm about to say. When somebody comes through your life, that one person who is your soulmate, and that one person leaves us, it leaves a hole in our system. It leaves us it's something, and we're thinking that that is some special kind of love, you know? And we're not saying other love is second best, but it's just when you have that special love, that's a special love. And when you lose that special love, whatever, break up, loosen, or God God forbid, they pass on, some people shut down. They shut down, meaning that they, you know, dating is a routine. It's not really anything you're into. It's not really a thing or a people, whatever. But then they shut down and they become, sex is not important to them anymore. Sex is not important. They shut the fuck down. Now, we don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And women tend to do this at a certain age. And I picked a number of 45. That if a woman was divorced or whatever and she had a bad relationship or she was married and she got rid of this son of a bitch, she's free. The last thing she wants to do is get back into a relationship. That's the last thing she wants to do. And I have known a lot of women around that age and over just says, you know what, fuck it. I'm happy who I am. I'm happy where I am. I don't need a man. But then you have to understand, but the one thing that they're missing, and one thing that's missing, if you love someone so deeply and they're gone, even though you love somebody else, but it's just not as deep, it's the intimacy. And people have to realize it's the intimacy. So when a woman is older and she says she's shutting down and she doesn't want to do, what she's missing is the intimacy. And that what brings two lovers together. Do you not agree, Sarge?
Now, since my wife passed, I've had a couple of relationships with women who, looking at them as individuals and objectively, had I met them in any other time frame, they would have been probably the most suitable and perfect women I could have ever known.
Mm-hmm.
The problem for both me and them is that they and any other woman will suffer by comparison with my recollection of my wife as opposed to them. It's not that they weren't individually just great people and people with whom, you know, I knew I could, and I did have a good relationship. No matter what I did, I would be constantly comparing them to my wife. As far as I'm concerned, she was the perfect woman for me.
Right.
So I think there is some truth to that, and I think you are both blessed and cursed to have found the one person in the world for you.
Amen.
In that
Amen
sense,
to
yes,
that.
It is both a blessing and a curse.
Amen to that. Let me tell you something, Sarge. You're sharing something really personal and loving, and I'm going to share. And in the show, if you listen to the show the last 5 years, 10 years, I would never ask anybody to share something if I was not willing to share it. If I could not go there, I could not ask my guests or anything else to go there either. You know, I'm not a blowjob guy. And just stay with me for a minute. I know after your beautiful story, I come up with, you know what, a good blowjob is a good place to start. After your beautiful story.
I never hurts, man, but I'm just saying it's not adequate.
I know, but you know, I can't talk to my friends about it. They're going, what? That's the beginning of love. I go, no, I'm not a blow guy. And the reason, I almost feel sorry for the girls. I get to a point where I feel sorry for them, like they're trying so hard, and I'm hearing their jaws are popping and everything, and then they're gonna have to put their, I feel so bad for them.
You know how it is with men, man. Look, there's the immediate release. You know, you just got to get it because you got to get off, right?
Right.
Let's face it. That's a really important thing for a lot of men. Not all men, please.
No.
This categorical statements are really true. But for many men, that is vital. That is needed. That is necessary. Okay. So we get that. But when you're talking about real commitment, look, men are really capable of separating the two.
Right.
Probably to an extent women may not be, you know, no matter what contemporary mores try to depict it as, because we're not the same in our sexual attitudes and outlooks for obvious reasons. And men are capable of separating the two, a one-night fling from a true lasting romance and eternal love.
Right.
And
right.
Believe me, most men know the difference. I know I do.
Right. But, you know, I'm going to share something with you, Sarge. I'm looking at the time, so excuse me if I'm being rude because I want to get a lot of this in only in 20 minutes. I don't think I can. But I have never in my life, I'm going to share something very personal with you. In my life, now believe me, this including all the molestation I had as a young child, 13. Thank you, ladies. In my life, I only came twice maybe once. The other one was a mistake in college. Only once when a woman gave me a blowjob. I am not a blowjob guy. They will work, and they will work at it, and I feel sorry. I would do things. I get bored, and I start playing with their ears. like I'm steering a car. You know, I would tap on the head. I get bored.
Yeah, well.
Because they're doing it for them, and I understand. And so until one night, this Russian girl, I'm telling you, she was a Russian spy. She goes, honey, I go, don't even try. Don't try. You got little lips. Don't try. You know, she goes, just lay back. And I don't know what she did, Sarge. Sarge, I don't know what magical genie or what elixir that she did. It was like boom, 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 like pop, pop, pop. She did this magical way, Sarge. She will, and that's her. And this is me. This is her. I go, you know, that's how it went, right? And then all of a sudden it was like, she would go, she would stop, she would go, she would stop, she would go, she would stop. I'm going, what's going on with this one? It's like an obsessive compulsive disorder. Just get right to the speed. And when it happened, Sarge, I couldn't stop. It was like, what is this? Uh-oh.
Well, Brian.
It went on
think about
for
it this,
10.
Well, Brian, think about it this way, Brian.
10
you're
minutes.
At a really swanky restaurant, and they got great appetizers, and you really love the appetizers. But are you ever really satisfied with that before the main dish comes?
No. But this
that's appetizers. Stuff like that is appetizer. The foreplay is nice and all. But we know what the main dish is. That's the main, that's dinner. That's the really satisfying, belly-filling, a culmination of the whole thing. Everything else
right.
is like, you know, everything else is like embellishment.
Right. Now,
okay,
sorry,
so
I'm not going to
I can understand where you're coming from, believe me. I do.
Right. I mean, are you a blowjob kind of guy? I'm not a blowjob kind of guy.
I like it, but I mean, it's you know, I mean, I love a lot of guys just live for that, and then I'm okay. I think you got
it's
your priorities mixed up.
I know.
And yeah, it's wonderful, but I'm just saying, some guys live for that, and I think they got their priorities misplaced. I mean, whatever floats your boat, it floats your boat. But for me,
does.
That's just a preliminary.
Me too. One time I pulled it out and tapped her on the head with it. Okay, enough with you. Time's up. Did you just
yeah,
tap me on the head with my
penis? Let's
with
get down
penis?
To business.
Yeah, let's get down to business. Yeah, I didn't come for that. Listen,
right. But hey, you know, look, it's not up to you or me to tell anybody what makes somebody else joyful.
It makes them
especially
happy.
especially when the other party is a willing participant. So each to his own.
It was one girl, sorry, she sounded like she enjoyed it. It was like, you know, there was a moment. It sounded so good. I wanted some. Let me have some of that.
Well, you know.
What are you
well,
tasting? How, let me
yeah.
get down there. But here we go. Sorry, give me a minute because I'm going to rush this really quick. Now, some of you women out there are saying, you know what? I don't need a man. I have toys. Toys. I want you to listen to this toy story, and we'll go right back and talk to everybody else because we're going to play a game today. So don't worry. Don't leave because we're going to play a game today. But listen to this right now. Okay. Let's get to the part where
it's been said, if you never want to have sex again, get married. Sex is one of the most contentious issues in marriage today, second only to finances. There are many married couples that have not had sex for months, even years, and that's okay, as long as they're okay with it and happily married. The problem arises when one person in the relationship wants sex and the other doesn't. According to a national newspaper survey, of approximately 10,000 respondents, mostly married men, 75% were satisfied in their relationship, but more than 50% were dissatisfied with their sex lives. We're having sex, Don't get me wrong. We're just having sex at the wrong time and with the wrong people. I'll get to that later. We're having sex before we get married, 10 years on average. So we are effectively in a long-term relationship and potentially quite sexually bored before we even mess up the marital bed. And that has its consequences. Most brides today do not have sex on their wedding nights. And 50% of men would not have married their spouse had they known their marriage was going to be sexless. So, everybody wants to know just how much sex are married people having, whether they are in heterosexual relationships or same-sex unions. You all want to know what's going on at the Joneses. Well, not much. Only about 7% of married couples set the sheets ablaze. Most married couples have sex a little bit more than once a week for the first decade of their marriage. It decreases after that. So they have sex about 58 times a year. And 20% of marriages meet the criteria as a sexless marriage. And that, defined by the experts, is sex less than 10 times a year. So why aren't we having sex in our marriages? Well, there's a little known chemical in the brain, conveniently called PEA, or P, and it's responsible for the elation, the excitement, and the euphoria that you feel when you meet somebody that you are sexually interested in. It's a fantastic feeling. This chemical is scourging through your blood vessels. You are so happy. That's how powerful this little chemical is. Well, what happens after 2 years, that chemical diminishes, as does sexual frequency. That's just about the time you might get married or may have conflict in your relationship. And that is why communication is key to great sex. Now, there's another reason we're not having sex in our relationship, and that has to do with the sex education that we provide. I'd like to share a story about myself. When I was a teenager, my mother came racing into my bedroom, and she said, "Maureen, please tell me you have not allowed a boy to French kiss you." She was feeling terrible that this sex education came a bit late, and I was feeling horrifically guilty as an Irish Catholic girl that I'd French kissed a number of boys by that stage. We teach girls and women that sex is dirty and sex is bad or it's overrated. We say you're just going to get a sexually transmitted infection anyway or you might get pregnant. This whole fear-based thing frightens women from enjoying sex. And we never talk about pleasure with girls and women or orgasm. And in fact, some women say orgasm's not important and that the journey is just as good as the destination. I disagree. Of course. I'm the one who French kissed all the boys as an Irish Catholic girl.
For just $67, you can make as many videos as you want, and you never need to pick up a camera or you...
It's like getting on a train with your lover, and you are going to the most pleasurable place on the planet. You are so excited. You're getting lubed up with all the free drinks they're giving you. This is amazing. And just before you reach your destination, he gets off and you don't. You get my point. Now, the sex education we have for boys and men, that's entirely different. It's a global program.
Okay, there you go. We don't have time for everything, but we get the idea. It's 19 minutes. And I still stand by my word. You know, intimacy is very important for men and women, by the way. Women just think men are just a fuck toy or a mechanical being. And you put a quarter in it, and it's like the horse gets going, and then the quarter runs out, or he runs out. No, Right, Sarge? Men are just want the intimacy as much as anything else. I mean, I have been with many women where I was not there. I have been with many women that I faked an orgasm with. And I asked, Sarge, have you ever faked an orgasm? Yes, I have. I have.
Actually, not actually faked it, but even though I found it enjoyable, my first several sessions with women, I didn't have an orgasm.
You didn't?
I mean, it's not. I didn't have to fake it. I mean, it just didn't happen. Even though everything was enjoyable, for some reason, I didn't. That didn't happen. That didn't happen to me for quite some time, actually. And then when it did, it was Katie barred the door.
I had to fake it just to get out of there. I felt sorry. She was trying so hard, you know. It's
I never had to fake it. I mean, wasn't happening.
It just wasn't happening. Yeah. Were you not aroused, or just like, you know?
No, I was.
Still,
I told you it was quite enjoyable. I just didn't have that, you know. And now the women I was with loved it, because I mean I was there forever.
Right.
You know, but I just saying, but for me something wasn't clicking. I don't know what it was. But when it happened, it was like an explosion, and I almost passed out, like grayed out, like a fighter pilot pulling G's.
But what was happening was missing. What was missing was the intimacy, and men need it. And I could have that. I could connect with that with phone sex, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Maybe as an actor or whatever, that you can go in and you're playing a character, or you're playing a part, or whatever. But it does have that. But when you even find the intimacy, you know, it's funny, Sarge. 24 years with my girlfriend, right? Every time we do it, I say to her every time, there has not been one time in 24 years, every time it's done, I say, thank you. Thank you. She goes, you're welcome, honey. I always say that. And people laugh at me, go, why are you thanking her? And I'll tell you why I'm thanking her, because she gave herself to me. She gave everything. She gave, you know what I mean? She gave the college try. She gave her heart, her soul, her sweat, and not to mention her puss-puss. Thank you. It's rude to not say thank you. Thank you. And so it's going back to the 900 number. It says, Brian, have you ever cheated in your relationship? I remember I just turned, 48. I guess I just turned 47, 48. I was in a chat room, and this girl was a nurse, and she was Asian, and she had a twin. There was two of them. And my girlfriend was over my shoulder. She was seeing them time. And she go, I go, twins, go twins. And then my girlfriend says to me, you know, you got a birthday coming up. I go, yeah, I know I got a birthday coming up. She goes, you want them? Because they want you. I go, I can have them. She goes, yeah, you can have the twins. I can have them. Like they're little toys that they don't have a mind of their own. It's like, if I want, Brian get. And then I said, no. Smartest thing I ever did. Guys, don't fall for that trick. No, baby, you're the only one I want. I don't want them. She goes, okay. Happy times. Only a fool will go, really, I could have them? When can they come over? What are you making for dinner for us and everything? That was a trick. She doesn't want me with nobody else. But if I was a stupid asshole going, sure, I would like, you know, can Amazon have them over by, you know, 5 o'clock tomorrow? You know what I'm trying to say, Sarge? No, you go, you're the only one I want, baby. I don't need those girls with those nice perky tits and that tight ass and that hair that's over there and that come hither mouth. Who needs that? Who's into that shit? You know, so anyway. So I'm saying, so you women out there, and now I'm going to shut up because Sarge is going to take over and we're going to play a little game. So I say to you women out there, and you settle and you go, well, I got my toys and I got my toys and I got my toys. That's fine and dandy. But you're missing something. And you're thinking, what am I missing? What am I missing? You're missing the intimacy with a person. And we don't have to have – going. You don't have to get in head that you have to – you can have enjoyable sex with a person who you hardly know, and that's probably the excitement of it. Oh, my God, I don't really know. This is new. And if a guy can call 1-900 and talk to Betty, can a woman call 1-900 talk to big dick Ted? Now, if a woman calls – now, Sarge, I'm going to go with you. Now, let's say you're going with someone. This is not your wife. We're going with somebody else you're interested in, okay? So now you're dating, right? You're interested in some girl named, knowing you, Tamika. You love Tamika. Tamika loves you. But, yeah, you're feeling Tamika out, right? So you have sex with Tamika, and then you're laying in bed, and then you happen to, you know, you happen to be one of these preemies, like, uh-oh. So you come and everything. You lay on your back, and then she goes to you. Do you mind if I finish myself off? And you said, what? And then she puts on a porn, and all of a sudden,
get revived.
You know what I mean?
You get revived,
going,
in other words.
Yeah, she's, you know, she brought her her pocket vibrator with her, her traveling kit, and she does it. Would you take offense to it, Sarge?
Well, I've never had that problem with preemie really buying. It's never been, never come up.
Bragger.
I don't suppose I would have a problem with it because, you know, these things are kind of variable, I would guess.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, I think you are obligated to bring as much pleasure as you can to your companion.
Right,
so
but she's doing it on her own.
If they didn't get that, and they're still in the afterglow or in the process of the arousal, I mean,
right.
I wouldn't find it insulting. They still felt the need to do that. I just make sure that usually doesn't happen.
Okay, I'm going to give you another scenario. Same scenario. Maybe you didn't preemie, but maybe she was almost there. So you're laying in there congratulating yourself because you're all that, and she's sitting there with a cross-eyed saying, you dirty, dirty bastard. Okay, so you're laying there, and she goes to you, same scenario, do you mind if I get myself off? You being a nice gentleman as you are, you go, no, go ahead and do it because you're too tired. You're going to sleeping land. So this is what she does. This is what you hear. Okay, thank you. And she goes, beep, 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 beep. And you're going, what was that? Hello, Brian. Hi, how you doing? I'm in a situation here with Sarge. Oh, okay, tell him I said hello. You know, he's right here. Say hello to Brian. Hey, what's up, Brian? Hey, Sarge, how you doing? Well, I have this problem. He couldn't get me off. Okay. Hey, baby. Oh, Brian.
No.
Oh, yes.
Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Brian.
Oh, baby. Oh, yeah.
But Brian, wouldn't a phone call like that be the...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But Brian... Wouldn't a phone call like
that
be prima facie? Yeah, but wouldn't a phone call like that be prima facie evidence of the nature of your relationship?
No, because she doesn't care. She doesn't care about me. In fact, she hates me.
Well, that's what I mean. That's exactly what. So then, why would I be concerned about it at all?
But she kind of likes
it. I mean, look, if the woman
does
a telephone call like that, it is quite obvious, you know, what the nature of your relationship with her is. You're sitting there. She called another guy to come and get off, get us off.
Right.
And I would imagine then that I would just say to myself, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to invest too much time in this relationship to include outrage. Because, I mean, hey. It's clear she doesn't have it. She's not interested all that much in a real commitment. I mean, look, everybody's got the right to get off if they can, okay?
Right.
What they don't have a right to is my level of commitment, especially when
right.
they do things like that.
Okay,
so
are
that's
you
it.
Saying that?
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Okay. To answer your question, I wouldn't be outraged by it, no. I would be informed. By if I ever had any illusions about the nature of the relationship, they would now be satisfied.
Okay. Well, how dare you? I'm good.
I mean, it wouldn't bother me, though. I mean, I'd say, well, you know.
What
would
mean
it
wouldn't bother
you? Not really.
Hello, Brian.
Not really. The only way it would bother me is if I thought I was getting into something which I was making a real investment. Then it would. But clearly, in a case like this, that's probably not going to happen.
I got a feeling it
was. So, no, I'm not going to be bothered. I'm going to thank you very much. Let you know, kind of like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Okay, it was nice, and I appreciate you, and great. But I got to quit. I got something I got to do.
And we're going to have a beer.
Yeah, I got to.
Well.
Yeah. I got to go change the hair on my tires.
Yeah. Hey, Sarge, I'll be there in a minute. She's almost off. We'll go have a beer. Okay,
yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, right. You know, so,
yeah, right.
Hey, don't you think it's better to find out that sort of thing early anyway?
It is. Why is Brian's phone number in yours? But the thing about it is, so I'm saying there's Big Dick Ted, and she calls 900 number to get her off. Now, she's actually talking to somebody. She doesn't know who he is. It's just a fantasy. Now, let's just be serious a minute. The same as a man will call 1-900 number, and it's $2.95 a minute. Hers is about $1.50 a minute. Now, is that cheating? Is that cheating? She's done with you. She goes into the other room. She goes, you mind if I get off? You go, no. But she's calling 1-900-TED, you know, Big Dick Ted. And is that cheating? And she
gets off.
Well,
what did Jimmy Carter say about that, Brian? Jimmy Carter said that's lust.
Lust in my heart.
Yeah, there you go.
Lust in my heart.
So, I mean, even though, you know, I mean, you didn't consummate the act, let's face it. Sex, to a great extent, has to do with what's in your mind and your imagination.
True.
So, I mean, to the extent that that is critical and important in sexual affairs, then I guess you have committed a kind of unfaithfulness.
Okay. Okay, it's Friday. I want to play a game with you guys. 6 minutes. Okay, I got to see who's here. Pat, you're here? Pat, are you here?
Yeah.
Melissa, Melissa, are you here?
Yeah.
Okay, you ready to play, Melissa? Melissa's our champion. We're password, Melissa. Password. She's
our
champion.
Which one?
Password.
Okay.
Here's the rule. We only got 6 minutes. We're going to probably go over. So, you guys, this is a great game. So, if we go over, you need to come into the studio and listen to how this ends. We're going to play for our imaginary charity and imaginary money. 319-527-6099 if you want to play. 319-527-6099 if you want to play. Here's how it works. I'll give you three clues. And you could own, and you will, the clues will be a one-answer clue. If you don't get them in three clues, you're going to lose, okay? And we're going to play for our imaginary charity. Is that cool? Melissa, nobody has beat Melissa. Melissa is the champion. Are you ready to play, Melissa?
No, there's other people that were pretty good.
Yeah, but they're not here. But you are pretty damn good. You are pretty damn good.
Okay.
They need somebody good to go up with. You haven't been beaten. You threw the game one time. You threw the game for King because you wanted them to have the cake.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Yeah. We're going to play for imaginary charity. Here we go. You can call me.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. It's time to play Password. I am your host, Winky Dink. You can call me Winky or you can call me Dink. Don't call me Winky Dink. Today, our contestant is from Maine, the fabulous Melissa. You have seen her on all the covers of all your magazines. Yes, Cooking with Melissa. There she is in her cooking apron, and that's all she has, and she's going to make your recipe grow bigger. Ladies and gentlemen, Melissa from Maine. And here we go. We have Pat. Pat is a world psychic. She already knows the answers, but she's going to pretend that she doesn't. And this is Pat. She can read your mind. She can read everything, but she just can't read a recipe cookbook. Everybody, here we go. Pat. Then we have Sarge. Sarge is a man fought for our country. He did everything he did for our country. He even voted for Trump and tried to destroy our country. But he claims he still loves our country. Sarge, everybody. Okay, we're going to play Password. Now, here's how we play. We're going to play. Okay, Sarge, I'm going to tell everybody a clue. I'm going to put you in private. And we only have one time for one thing. It's 4 minutes. I'm going to put you in private. You're not going to be able to hear what the answer is. But everybody else will hear it, okay? And I will give you three clues
okay.
to have to guess it. You're in private. Here we go. Okay, everybody, Pat. Sarge is in private. Okay. The password is oranges. Oranges. Okay, Sarge is out of the privates. Okay, now here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to do a twist of the game. Here's how you get extra points. One of you can decide. You already know the answer. If you have a one-word clue, one of you can decide. You can give Sarge the clue, or I can give him the clue. Anybody want to give him the clue?
I will.
Okay, Melissa will give you the clue. Here we go. First clue, Melissa.
Citrus.
Okay. Is it a fruit?
Oh, nope. Second clue. Second clue.
It's round.
No, it's not Pride Week with the fruit. Second clue, Melissa.
Juice.
Juice.
Okay. Okay. Is it a... no, I can't answer the question, can I?
No.
No.
You just got to give us an answer.
Okay. Now, the question again was juice?
Juice.
And it's a one-word password.
Yeah.
It's a one-word answer, and you got 5 seconds.
Hurry up.
Okay, 5 seconds.
The term juice. Hurry up.
Drink?
Oh, no. Last clue. Melissa, give me your last clue.
Seeds.
Remember all the clues. Juice, seeds, citrus.
Oh, you know what? Can I change that? I can't, but I can't.
Go ahead. You could change it. You could change it.
Pulp.
Pulp. Pulp. Sarge. Pulp.
Orange?
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
You know, I was going to say OJ, like as in Simpson. But, you know, that's why I asked you if it was one word, if it's a one-word password. I was going to say OJ Simpson, but then you said that's always got to be OJ. Got it.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Sarge, you're going to give the clues to Pat. Okay, you're going to give the clues to Pat. Pat, I'm put you in private. Here we go. Sarge, you're going to give her the clues. The password is the password is titties. Titties. All right, here we go. Sarge, one word clue. Go.
Nourishing.
Nourishing. Pat.
Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
Food.
Food. No. Next clue.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Mammaries.
Mammaries?
Milk.
Milk. No. Last clue.
Oh,
colloquialism.
Oh, my God, no.
What the hell is that? What the hell?
Yeah,
wrong?
You just lost me on that one.
One more time.
Can I give another one in?
Yeah,
can I give another one?
Yes, yes.
Slang.
No, I'm not getting it.
That's it. You lost. Okay, Pat, let me try this. How about cows?
Okay,
no,
so cows, mammary.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Yeah, udders. All right, now, okay, who?
Let me say what I would have said.
Okay, what did you say?
Okay, my clues. Nipples.
Okay.
Nipple. Oh, geez.
Nipple.
Bra.
Nipple.
Is the word breast?
Not breast, but you're on the right track. The word was titties.
Well,
yeah, nourishing, mammary, slang. Titties.
Here we go.
Hey, by the way, you talk about cow. That's udders, you big dummy.
I know that's udders. Look at the tits
of
that cow.
All right, give me good clues, you guys. Be smart. Come on.
All right, here we go. Pat, you're going to give the clues to Melissa. Pat, you're giving the clues to Melissa. Melissa goes into privates. Here you go, Melissa. Okay, Pat. And Pat, here we go. The password is love. The password is love. Okay? Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Pat, give Melissa her first clue.
Beyond sex.
Nope, you can only get one.
Yes, two words.
You can only get one
word.
One word.
Okay. Parts.
Parts? Okay. Parts.
Hurts.
What? Oh, hearts. Oh, I'm sorry. Hearts.
Oh,
H-E-A-R-T. Hearts. Okay. Hearts.
Love.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
This is why why she's a champion. This is why she's a champion. Good job. Now, here it is. Here's a playoff mode.
Now, what's my prize, bitch? What's my prize?
Not yet. It's a tie. And it's a tie between you and Sarge. One of you can only become the winner. Now, here's what happens. Actually, good clue, Pat, by the way. Good clue. And here we go. I'm going to give the clue to the tiebreaker, okay? Sarge, you're going to go first. I'm going to put you in private. Here we go. I'll give the clue. Okay, the password is football. Football is the password. Okay, I'm going to give the clue to Sarge. Sarge is in the studio right now. Here we go. Your first clue, Sarge. Pigskin.
Football?
Wow!
Yeah. I would give that clue, too. That's the one I would have given.
That was a good clue, wasn't it? Good clue.
Yeah, excellent. Oh, superb. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, Melissa's going to go into private to see if we can break this. Melissa has to get this to tie. If not, Sarge wins and he becomes a new champion. Melissa, you're going into private. Here we go. The password is hula hoop. Hula hoop. Okay.
Wait a minute, that's two words.
Well, okay, wait, that is two words. Wait, I got to put her back in my privates. Hold on, Melissa, I want to put you back in my privates. Okay, here we go. The password is cooking. Okay, cooking. Here we go. All right, Melissa, here we go. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
And when I say the answer, mind you, I have no idea what the clue is going to be until I even say the answer. That's how stupid I am. Okay, here we go. First clue.
Okay.
Recipes.
Cookbook.
Form of a word. Form of a word.
What?
You said cookbook. Form of the word.
And cook.
Yes!
Boy, she's good. She's good,
isn't
boy.
She good?
I'm hard to beat at this one. I am hard to beat.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that was good.
Okay. We're going to go one more time because it's tied up. She is the champion. This is why she's the champ. Here we go. I'm putting Sarge in the private. Here we go. The password is honeymoon. Honeymoon. All right, we're bringing Sarge out, and here we go. Here's your first word to the clue. Here we go.
I've got one.
Ooh.
I do too.
Do you guys
I've
have?
Got
okay,
one.
I'll pass it to one. Okay, I'll pass it to you, Pat. First
Take
clue.
It, Pat.
Give him the
Niagara.
First clue. Niagara.
Yeah.
Niagara.
That's my clue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Niagara.
Yeah.
Waterfall.
No. Nope. Melissa, second clue.
Newlywed.
Newlywed.
Honeymoon.
Wow.
Yep.
Very good. Very good. Okay, we got to go to Melissa, see if she can tie this up. I'm going to put Melissa into private. Here we go, Melissa. I'm going to put you in a private. Okay, here we go. The password is popcorn. Popcorn. All right, let's bring her out. Okay, Melissa, you ready for your first clue? Here you go. Okay.
No, you stop yelling.
Ready?
Yeah. Hi, Sean.
I'm ready.
Okay. Hi,
yeah,
Sean.
Yeah, you're yelling.
Hi,
go ahead, everybody.
Okay, your first clue. Jiffy?
Okay.
Jiffy?
Did you say Jiffy?
Jiffy?
Spell it, please.
Jiffy, J-I-F-F, is it E-Y?
Why?
Oh, my God.
J-I-F-F-Y.
Okay.
Jiffy.
I think I've got it, but give me another one.
Okay. Colonel.
Popcorn.
I knew she was going to get it then.
Okay. You two are two good contestants here. All right. This is it. I mean, this is it. Come on. You guys are tough. Sarge, I'm putting you back in privates. Here we go. The password is watermelon. Watermelon is the password.
Okay. Oh, that's easy.
Here we go. Okay, Sarge, here you go. The first clue. Seedless. Seedless.
That would be barren?
Oh, my
no.
God.
No, okay.
Did you say barren? Sarge, your vocabulary is almost too much for this game. So low.
You have to dumb down. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Green. Seedless and green.
Grape.
No. Last one. Anybody want to take it, or you want me to? Anybody have a good one? Anyone?
Big.
Go ahead, Pat.
Big.
What? Big is kind of ambiguous. I don't know if you'll get it. Okay. Big. Seedless. Oh, I got one.
Watermelon.
I'll add one into what yours. Okay. I'll try to do this one too. I'll give him that. What did he say?
Watermelon?
Oh, my God. How did you get watermelon and a bee? You got it. I was getting ready to say rind. Rind. What rind would have done?
I just bought a seedless watermelon yesterday.
You know what I would have said? I would have said spit. That would have been my first one, because that's what I think of as a kid eating watermelon. You spit the seeds. Right.
Oh, spit. Seedless, spit. I don't know if I would catch it. No. I don't know.
No, but I would have done more.
Yeah.
The rhyme was good. Rhyme was good.
Okay, now they get harder because somebody has to win. They get harder. Here we go.
Okay.
I got to put Melissa into the thing.
I got a suggestion for password.
Okay, go ahead. What's your suggestion? Go ahead.
Democracy.
I don't even know how to pronounce that.
Now, you want a hard one? I'll give you some hard words.
I meant like an eighth grade level.
It starts with a K, by the way. It starts with a K.
Yeah, I don't think she would have got that. How about this?
Well, anyway.
Porn. How about this porn? Here we go. All right, Melissa's been in the privates for a while. Okay, here we go, Melissa. Three clues. Your first clue.
Wait a minute, you just gave us. That was the password. The word you just said.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right.
Okay. X-rated.
That's two words.
No,
that's hyphenated. X-rated is hyphenated.
But doesn't it count as one word?
Yeah, that's hyphenated. I'd say it counts as two.
Does it count as two? Okay, those are both your clues.
Yeah.
X. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. X.
Well, you've already.
I know. That's pretending. Huh?
Movie.
What?
Movie.
No, wrong.
Okay, give me another one.
Okay. All right, I got one for you.
Okay, give it to
I got one
us.
For you.
Give it to her, Sarge.
Eroticism.
Eroticism.
Sex.
She said sex.
Oh, she said sex. I didn't hear her. No. Wrong. Okay. Let's give you another one. Here we go. Amateur.
Oh, porn.
There you go.
Okay, that's it. She got it. She's abbreviated it, that's all.
Yeah. Oh, I should have known to make these questions up, right?
Yeah, you should have looked who asking the question, man. I'm surprised you didn't get out with the first one.
All right, so this is Game of Death. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in private, and each one of us, Pat and Melissa and I, will give you the clue. Here we go. This is the last one. Here we go. Put you in private. Okay, here we go. The password is Trump, Donald Trump. Trump is the password.
Oh, no.
Okay, Okay, Pat. Give him the first clue.
No, I can't. I can't because I know what I'm going to say.
you got to give him the first clue, Pat. You can think of another one.
Yelling?
Okay. Yelling.
What?
Sarge?
Oh, it's me. Okay, yelling.
Yelling.
Screaming?
No. Melissa, next clue. Go ahead.
Here we go, Esther. Borders.
Borders. Borders? Okay.
Yeah.
Borders. Yelling borders. Borders.
Is Sean trying to give me some unauthorized clues?
He's trying to cheat. Sean is trying. Sean,
I think he is, man. I think Sean is trying to queer the game here.
I think he is.
I think he's trying to queer the game. Sean, you stop trying to queer the game.
You got yelling and borders. The buzzer's going to go off. Take a guess.
Come on, Sarge. Think outside the box.
Oh, it's my turn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I got, okay. Halt.
No. Okay, then I got to give you the clue. The three of us will give you the clue. Here we go. You got yelling borders. MAGA.
Oh, that's kind of vague. Wait a minute. That.
Am I pronouncing that right?
Nah, that's kind of bad.
No.
I want to judge. I want to judge on that one.
M-A-G-A.
No.
Okay, take a guess.
No, I want to judge on that one. That one,
okay, you
want to
judge? Okay, we'll give you another one.
That's too vague. Come on. Now
When I tell you what it is, you're going to think it's not.
Okay, let me give an example how you could have done something
America
like that.
Make America great again. Make America great again.
Oh, my, that's not fair.
It's already done.
No, that wouldn't be right either, man. I mean, that became
Donald
the
Trump.
Answer right there.
It would be Donald Trump.
Now, if you just said Trump, and then you said Trump, and then you did something like organization or campaign or something like that. Okay, that would have led you in the direction.
Okay, that would have been good.
You know,
okay,
yelling at borders. Come on, man. No way.
Okay, you're right.
We're going to call foul on that one.
Okay, we're going to give you a quick one. You're right. You could judge one.
No, I'm not whining. Now, you don't think that's whining now, do you?
No, I don't. No, you can take that one. Okay,
you see. I mean, you see my point, right?
I see your point. Yeah. I'm gonna put you in private. Here we go. Okay. The password is piano. Piano. That's the password. Piano.
Okay.
Each one of us have a clue. Okay, you ready, Pat? Give your first clue. You know the password is. Here you go, Sarge. This is one's for you. Okay.
Elton.
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 Elton. Elton. Elton.
Okay.
That's A-L-T-O-N?
No, E-L-T-O-N.
Oh, Elton. Elton.
Oh, Elton. Oh, okay. John?
Okay, a good clue, though. It was a good clue. No, not Elton John. Go ahead, Melissa.
Keys.
That's a good clue, too. Keys.
Elton. Maynard?
No, but they're good clues. Okay, my turn. Ivory. Ivory.
Oh, yeah. Piano.
There you go. Very good. This is the last one. If Melissa gets it, we're going to keep the tie. You guys are both good clues. Good clues.
It's to the death. It's to the death. Melissa, to the death. To the end. Only one person will walk away.
Yeah.
Don't throw it, Melissa. Don't throw it. Here we go. Let's put her in. Here we go. The chicken. Chicken is the clue. I'll go first. Here you go, Melissa. Here
okay.
you go. You ready? Cock.
Yep.
Cock.
Rooster.
No. Oh. Okay, Sarge, give her a clue. Wait, you're going to go. Give her a clue, Sarge.
Okay. Poultry?
Poultry.
Chicken.
Very good. Very good. Okay, this game is tight, officially tight. I thought I had her at cock, but I didn't.
Yeah, she. Well, she doesn't have your pornographic mind.
I know.
God, she's a farm girl. She's a farm girl at heart. Trust me, she's a farm girl.
Yeah. You know, she could find other meaning for words like that.
No.
Thank you, magnificent Melissa, for coming in today and sharing your love on a Friday. Thank you, baby Sean, for enlightening us and cheating for Sarge. Thank you, baby Sean. Yeah.
Hi, Sean. How you doing, Sean? How you doing, pal? What's up? I forgive you for trying to cheat your mommy. I can understand.
He likes to yell like you.
Yes,
loves,
good. We yell with each other.
Sarge.
Hi, Sean.
Sean,
whenever you can, Sean, you cheat for your mother because that's your mother. You're a good boy.
You know what? He's my grandson. Yeah.
He's a good grandbaby.
Okay,
yeah,
same thing.
His
purpose, you're the same thing right now.
That's true.
Yeah, you're right.
That is
you're
true.
Right.
She wears a lot of hats there. That is absolutely.
And by the way, hey, Brian, I want a rematch. I ain't satisfied with a draw. It's like kissing your sister.
That's that. All right, well, for one more, but it's gonna be a hard one. I'm gonna put you in private. Here we go. The password is circus. Circus.
Oh, that's easy.
Circus.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Okay, Pat, you did so good. Do the first clue.
It's for Sarge.
This is for Sarge.
Okay. Barnum.
Barnum.
What's that?
Barnum.
Circus?
Oh, my God. You're right. Too good. Yes. You're absolutely right. Good clue, Pat. Good
Ring
clue.
The bell. Ring the bell.
Ring the bell. There you
I
go.
I want a bell ring. Ring the bell.
There
oh, thank you.
Go.
All right. Good. Now, okay. Now
Melissa, here we go. Here we go. The password is swimming. Swimming is the password. Here we go. All right, Sarge, you give her the first clue.
Okay. Aquatic.
Aquatic. Good one. Aquatic.
Okay. Aquatic.
Aquatic.
Ocean.
Huh?
Ocean.
That's because you live in the
ocean. Oh, close,
yeah.
But okay.
You said aquatic.
And,
okay.
Yes, he did. It's actually a good clue. Okay, Pat, your turn. Second clue.
Pool.
Water.
Pool.
Water.
Nope.
Oh, water
oh,
is
no.
wrong, but good clue. Water
aquatic?
Is wrong, but
cool.
Good clue. Ready?
You know, she is a formidable opponent, so I will have to give her a fighting chance.
Okay.
Okay.
So, So given that, I'm going to have to say activity.
Ooh.
Oh, swimming.
Damn it. See, that's what I get for being a sportsman.
We're going to go at the tie right now. You guys can go on. You guys are two good players. Pat, great clues. You guys can go on for another hour. Congratulations.
Yeah,
we will continue this Monday. We will continue this rematch Monday.
Yeah. Well, I only kiss my sister with affection. That's all I got to say.
There you go.
Okay? That's it.
Well, Sarge has been great. Pat, Melissa, Sarge, thank you for coming in. I'll be here Monday. Hopefully you'll be here Monday too.
Oh, by the way, one more thing I'd like to tell you about, Brian,
sure.
You might want to look into this. This
sure.
East German Stasi government we got, this Third Reich Venezuelan like entity, is about to indict Rudy Giuliani for questioning the election. Man,
wow,
these people are out to crush opposition. These people are out to crush opposition. I am trying to tell you, this country is going down the tubes if we don't stop this regime.
You know, I'm with you, Sarge.
3 years later, they're not allowed to question this election because they're going to do it again like they did the first time.
And we'll talk about, and you know what, he is being questioned, and Monday we're going to talk about that. And Pat wanted to talk about war, and she wanted to talk about horse tranquilizers, and we never got to that, so we'll do that Monday too. And she says people in Canada are using these, we call it PCP when I was a kid, but Pat, is it really a big thing in Canada that people are taking horse tranquilizers?
No, this is a big thing in the States.
Oh, in the States. Oh,
yes,
okay.
It is. A lot of the Northeast states and quite a few of the California and places
wow.
like that.
I'm going to look into it.
They said about 80% to 90% of the heroin and stuff is cut with that. Sometimes 14 times stronger than the actual drug.
Oh, my God. So now they're putting PCP in heroin? Are you freaking kidding me?
It's not
oh
PCP.
My.
It's something else. It's even
worse. It's something
worse.
Else. Like a horse tranquilizer, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my research over the weekend, Pat. We got a former police officer here, and we're going to look into that and get some information. And maybe we'll make a live call to a help hotline and get some information because we want to do something to help somebody and not just have fun. I want to thank you, Pat. So I will do some research about that this weekend. Pat, thank you so much. Have a safe weekend.
You too.
Take it easy on your dildo. Remember, the rubber that you say belongs to the tree.
Well, let me know the night before you're going to be on just so I'm awake.
I will, sweetheart. Thank you for coming in. I'll be on Monday. Thank you, of course, the beautiful Melissa and the beautiful Sean and the beautiful Sarge. Hey, guys, have a great week, and I'll see you Monday, huh? Bye-bye.
Take care, man. Be careful. Bye,
thank
y'all.
You too. Bye.
Bye.